Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome, everyone, to the Cultaholic Classic Watch Along. Yeah, special watch along this week as we chronologically critique wrestling from the early 90s via WWF Raw. Thank you, OSW Review. Tonight, we are doing something very special and we are watching the entirety of WrestleMania 10 whilst providing a commentary trackette. And who be we? I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter without portfolio, former Cultaholic heavyweight champion Tom Campbell, and I am joined by the bear in the big blue bar cage, the man who does not need a pencil. He's the head pen, and he gets it right every time. It's Justin Henry, and he is off of America.
How you doing there, Tommy?
Doing great, doing great. By the time this goes out, I will be away, which is really exciting.
For good?
Not for good. Unfortunately for you, just for a little holiday / vacation. I'm excited to have some time away. But I will bring you all back. I don't know, some whale blubber from Iceland or something.
Were you going to Iceland?
Yeah, going to go check out what our friends in Europe have got. No, is it Europe? Yeah. Is Iceland Europe? We'll find out in a bit. Do you know what? I look to the right to ask our erstwhile colleague for today whether Iceland is in Europe, but I thought we haven't even introduced him yet, Justin.
No, we have not. It is our good friend Matthew Gregg, who is now the official pay-per-view watch-along guy, as long as he wants the job. Matthew, do you want the job?
Yes, however, it sucks having to follow Tom and Justin, but very appropriate for a show like this because nothing could follow Owen versus Brett. So, yes, I will be here with you two lovely gentlemen as long as you can tolerate me.
Hey!
Bye then.
I'm okay with that.
What an absolute treat. So, WrestleMania 10, we've made it this far, Justin. Remind us once again when and where we are.
It is March 20th, 1994. We're at the world-famous Madison Square Garden in New York City. Our first ever garden show here on the watch-along/review show.
Yeah, something very special indeed to be at the garden. So how these work are, we are going to hit play in just a second on WrestleMania 10, and you're going to watch it along with us like we're doing commentary. That's basically how this works for the very first time. And Justin, do you have your version of WrestleMania 10 ready to roll in that there America?
I most certainly do.
Matthew, you're looking at the same one as me, so you're as ready as I am. Congratulations to you. And if you are ready, we will begin our WrestleMania Watch Along Spectacular in 3, 2, 1. Good luck, everybody.
Sappy piano music.
Beautiful start. We look at the WrestleMania 10 logo that appears to be underwater now.
Liberace and the Rockets.
It's a very interesting time for wrestling, especially WWE, because we are right in the middle of a changing period. And how appropriate, Take That, Everything Changes was number one in the UK box office at this time. And by box office, I mean, of course, the chart.
You were doing great until you started coughing there, man.
I'm very sorry, by the way. The reason why this is a special edition is because I'm dying.
It's the final, last... hidden somewhere within this watch-along is the last will and testament of Matthew Gregg. God.
Yes, this was his big wish before he passed on.
Please, let me...
That's a weird make-a-wish. Most people just want to meet John Cena.
I want to meet Lex Luger staring off into the distance at a fading sunset.
Does this music, Justin, not just warm the cockles of your heart?
It makes you think Linda's here to make a ruling.
Oh, Oh, Linda.
Linda's here to chew the scenery. But before that, WrestleMania X.
But, well, I mean, we do have stars galore if Linda's here.
And we're going to see a show like never before.
Yeah, that's what people promised, and he wouldn't lie to us.
No way, baby.
Is this the greatest two-match show of all time?
I think it might be, you know.
It's either this or SummerSlam 2013.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Although that had Christian and Del Rio, which is pretty good also.
Everyone talks how good that was, but whatever. But this, okay. I'll say to begin with, this was a weird pay-per-view for me because when we first moved into our house as a kid in Northampton, we moved in, and for some reason, whoever had been previously there left a load of things in the shed that he didn't want anymore. Amongst them were some old copies of Silver Surfer.
Okay.
And the June 94 edition of WWF Magazine that covered WrestleMania 10 in great detail. And because there's so many storylines going on and so many interesting stuff to go into, I think I know this pay-per-view without watching it. I mean, that makes sense. Royal Rumble 94, I prepared by watching it before we did the talk along. This, I know, even though I've not seen it, I actually sat down and watched it on video that often. So I will defend this pay-per-view until my dying day. There's a lot of crap on it.
There is a lot of garbage.
But it's a weird show. It's an oasis in the middle of the desert for a horrible period for WWF.
Oh, sure.
Partly because of the almost steroid trial that was kicking in. This is the first WrestleMania without Hogan. He was doing Thunder in Paradise, which coincidentally had just made its debut on TV the week beforehand. And WWF obviously not wanting to cash in on this by showing him in the intro to the WrestleMania 10.
No, it's like he's just stopped existing, isn't it? It's very, very peculiar.
They should have done a thing like in loving tribute to Hulk Hogan.
look, hang on, lads. I know we're talking about the Hulk Hogan era, but we're missing Johnny B. Bad and a montage of American things.
A field?
Yes, this is Bad's debut on WWE. This is when he.
Is it bad that I've seen the American flag and there's all these shots, the helicopter cams as they're called, and I'm expecting to see like a rear gunnery sequence with M's. His AK-47 out the thing going.
Nice Predator stock footage.
So this is Little Richard, and it's a weird thing right now because they are in the middle of the new generation, the new movement. Hogan who? Never heard of him. And all this, and the way of showing that they are cutting edge, they are at the top of the pop culture mountain. Little Richard, the king of rock and roll. Ideally, we would have had, ladies and gentlemen, to sing the national anthem, Trent Reznor, Tupac Shakur, or anything. But no, we've got this instead.
Michael Stipe.
We've got a nice gospel. We got a nice little gospel audience as well.
Apparently, according to the Observer, this is the Stamford, Connecticut Baptist Church.
Not true. According to the Observer, this is the roster of a local indie promotion. You'll see four or five of these will actually become WWE champions in years to come.
Yes, I see. I see Dwayne Johnson down there is very young at this point. Fresh off of his college football run at the University of Miami.
Vicky Guerrero.
It's a nice suit on Johnny B. Badd there.
I'm very envious of the suit, actually.
It's lovely. He's made his debut, and do we have to become the number one singer? And if I know that was crap, Karim.
I was going nowhere.
Like Elvis, it died in its ass.
I believe that we have actually missed. There was an opening bit for this where they announced the king, and out comes Jerry Lawler. But I don't believe that's in this version.
No, that's coming, I think.
Oh, is it? Because I thought they did that before they announced Johnny B. Badd. I like how we're all just calling him Johnny B. Badd.
How much of Monsoon Sway at ringside?
Will you be serious?
It is daft that. I probably know the American anthem better than the British one. Because the Americans love to sing it at any occasion. Wrestling event, the anthem. The football, the anthem. The opening of a bed and breakfast, the anthem. So...
The best was Marvin Gaye singing at the 83 NBA All-Star game. He had the entire LA Forum like swaying back and forth. It was like the best version ever.
Oh, God, that's lovely.
Yes.
Thank you. Get ready to cheer the Canadian versus the Japanese guy. Yeah.
It's true, that, isn't it?
Yeah. And then Johnny B. Badd gets out the ring.
There'll be no encore.
Johnny B. Badd goes out the ring, goes out the entranceway, leaves the arena. That's it. What a nothing of this show. And that's to say, I do love the colour scheme they've gone here, the golden black.
Yeah, it's nice. Wolverhampton Wanderers colours.
Well, look who's back.
Back again.
We missed the bit where he goes, please welcome the King, Jerry the King Lawler. Now, he hasn't done that thing.
That's right. He, what was it? He pled guilty to harassing a witness, I believe. And the charges of, you know, diddling kids were dropped on him.
Something about being a diddler.
Something about that. And here he is. And God knows, if I was cleared of touching kids, I'd probably show up on pay-per-view with no shirt on.
That's quite the opening gambit. If I was cleared of touching kids, I would do this.
Got it. Lawler pulled the new jack, and then as soon as he got out, he was like, how are you feeling? And he went, got away with it, just like OJ. Drove away. So, any thoughts on that, Justin? Because you might know more about the news than me.
I think, according to what I read, I think the girl admitted that she fabricated the charges. And in order to make the whole thing go away, Lawler says, okay, the one thing where I talked to the one witness, no, I'll just plead guilty to that. And he got probation or something or other. Like, you know, hey, if you're good for 1 year, you know, we'll just drop everything. And the whole thing went away.
They were dropped, just like Owen accidentally dropped Brett.
Oh!
Or was it accidental? Survivor Series 1993, a horrible show that you can listen to the commentary track to make it better.
Oh, we did that as well, didn't we?
Yes, yes we did.
We've made a lot of content, lads. I don't know whether that ever gets considered.
We've ripped off a lot of we've made a lot of content. Oh, stop. But then, it's all right. Look, Tom, no, it's all right. Owen's all right. He's fine. It's just brothers, you know, they fight, they brawl,
they fight.
You know, they're brawl outside, and as soon as Stu Hart goes, dinner's ready, yeah, they patch it up and go back in, and, you know, it's all right.
Actually, Justin does a belt of Stu impression.
I know, I remember last time. What did Stu say about this, Justin?
My kids were fighting outside, and I told them to get their asses in. We made some rigatoni for dinner, and Smith is trying to take over the wrestling school, and I don't want him to because he's incompetent.
With his blonde hair, he looks like a whore.
don't like Stu's.
So, I mean, the Frankenstein guy is teaming with Raymond's brother. Raymond's the tougher room show.
They were all there at the Survivor Series 93. There was Brett and five non-Bretts. Oh, there you go. Owen kicking the leg out of his leg.
Had I done that, Brett's leg would have flown into the ninth row.
Hey, kicked your leg from under your leg.
That's it. Owen's promos weren't great, so here's his new mouthpiece. Stu Hart, ladies and gentlemen. Let out one of those little things that Hannibal Lecter had in Santa Lambs. Keeps him vertical.
I hate when they go to these small buildings, can't get any good football team or hockey team jackets, like a wax from the concession or merchandise stand.
If Stu Hart was Owen Hart's manager, then he could also double as a foreign object for him to swing.
Hey, looking stiff.
Then WrestleMania 10, Madison Square Garden. The lowest buy rate of any WrestleMania up to that point.
Really?
Largely blamed for the fact that I'm going to cough. I'm sorry, people listening to audio. Jesus. No Hogan. The business had changed. They're going through the Bret Hart era. Bret Hart, obviously great, obviously the best wrestler of all time. To people with, you know, common sense like myself, to other people, he wasn't Hogan.
But it wasn't really there yet. Well, it wasn't really the Bret Hart era, because Bret was very much a stopgap for when Vince's ideas fell underwater. So, like, it was the Luger era for a bit. Oh, and by the way, Owen Hart looks every inch the absolute star. Every inch the star.
He's got Brett's shades on. Of course he's a star.
Hey!
He had to sit in the front row and wait for Brett to forget what he looked like to get them off him.
If Mojo Rawley had those shades on, then you'd think he was a star.
Well, I think Owen wears them better than Mojo. IMHO.
I think we found a miracle Jesus couldn't perform.
I had those shades when I was 9.
Did you get them off of Owen?
No, I ordered them from the catalog.
Oh, fair enough.
Had the Bushwhackers hat. I had everything.
Oh, he ripped in the shades. Yeah.
I haven't had the silver versions.
But Brett will be laughing when there's the sun is just coming down from the sky and you're driving. And so, WF 94, as we said before, the steroid trials happening, where the government decided, you know what, we should go after the WWF and their rampant steroid abuse. And lots of people went, you know what, that's a good idea. And then he went, you know what, let's go after Vince McMahon himself. And you go, well, that's not going to work, is it? It's like, he's not distributing them himself. He goes, yeah, but we can seize Titan Towers if we find him guilty.
Oh!
So, they went after him. They couldn't prove it. They were right. It was Dr. Zavorian, was the name I never get right. It was Dr. Kavorian, because he nearly killed the company. But they weren't able to prove that Vince himself was distributing them. They threw the doctor under the bus. Jesus Christ, Matthew. Under the bridge. No, I was right.
You're right.
No. You throw people under buses, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You specifically, yeah. Tom. You've thrown many people under a bus.
I have thrown a lot of people from under a bus.
What if you throw them off a bridge onto an oncoming bus?
Well, that's doubly
bus,
bad.
Survive. I've seen Jackie Chan do that. But if a bus was coming on the road... This is a great build-up to Brett versus Owen, by the way. But my point was, it's a weird time for the company. They're all like, oh, God, we're not going to hire anybody new because we've no idea where we're going to be in a few months' time. But we have three of some of the best storylines during this time. There weren't many, so you've got to appreciate them. And one of them is Brett versus Owen.
Yeah.
So if you're just joining us, and maybe there's some 10-year-olds or whatever who were like, I don't know what, can you give us some context for this? Tonight, we will see Bret Hart versus Yokozuna for the title, and also Lex Luger versus Yokozuna for the title, because both Bret and Lex Luger won the Royal Rumble 94 at the same time. Mm-hmm. They did the coin toss on Raw, Luger won the toss, he gets Yoko. No, wait, is that right?
Yes.
Who won? But anyway,
so
Luger
first. Okay, so Justin, can you explain how the official coin toss system worked as dictated by Jack Tunney?
Well, this is before triple threat technology was invented. So what they deigned was that they would have a coin toss, but that was also my Owen there. I won the lockup. Screw you.
But I forgot about this.
But basically, they had a coin toss, and they decided that whoever won the toss would face Yoko first, and whoever lost would face the winner. But that whoever lost the toss would have to face a wrestler of suitable comparison competition in order to be sufficiently worn down in time for the match. So had Luger lost, we would have had Lex versus Crush on this show. That's so right. Thank God. That's the one time I'm ever happy Luger went over Brett.
What a world that would. Although, the one thing that you missed, Math, and if you're listening to us for the very first time, we nearly had the idea of Savage being in the main event of WrestleMania 10. Just phenomenal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nearly came to pass. Very nearly came to pass when he challenged Yoko.
But he cut one hell of a promo on that go home show.
Oh, didn't he just? Do you know what? That was that little period of Savage when it was announced that Savage was challenging Yokozuna on Raw. Like Savage on commentary saying, I'm going to turn WrestleMania upside down. Like, part of you believed it. Like, this is just going to blow WrestleMania up. And I was quite excited by that. Like, watching, even though I knew what was coming, I like the fact that they tease it. You know what? This could all go wrong.
Well, not wrong.
Go wrong, go right.
Oof.
Surprised the ring ropes are black and gold. The match not too
nice
good.
Look.
And this is one of the last WF shows to have it set up here with the entranceway facing there. From now on, they'd have it with the entranceway following the hard camera, as we'd see it.
No, they wouldn't. No, mate. They would.
Damn you, Bruce Pritchard.
Whenever they return to Madison Square Garden, they returned again at 20, and it was facing the hard cam.
No, not 20. 20 was on the side.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah. Is it? Oh, you're right, yeah. It is. But Royal Rumble 2008, it's entrance on the hard cam.
Two Rumbles, two Summers.
No, yeah, I beg your pardon. I've realised what I've said. I've said the completely incorrect thing.
We're telling you.
Thank you.
Love you, mate.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, you know what? I knew what to say, and different words came out of my mouth. That's better off muting the bit of the podcast that has me in it and having the Patreon-exclusive Tom Campbell and Justin Henry podcast. Anyway, we're obviously talking rubbish during one of the best matches in pay-per-view opening history.
Oh, it really is.
It's still a top 10
versus
match.
Owen. That's it. Full stop. End of. So it's hard to take the mick out of some of the finest stuff you'll see in any show.
Yeah, let's just be dazzled here by two of the finest.
That's not really good. Funny is, sit in silence going, ooh, that's a nice armbar.
And what's funny is years later, they showed some overhead cam footage of this match. And something we never saw in real time is when Owen had Brett in an armbar and booted his face, and Brett points at him angrily and says, like as if saying, "No, don't you effing do that." But you only saw that from the overhead. It was actually like a nice little touch. Brett was the master of subtlety.
He was, which is why so many people don't get him. And a monkey flip sends Owen Hart in the ropes. He hits it, bounces up, and then gets in position for the clothesline. What a pro.
Mm.
Crowd going, Raj. That's it, get some, says Brett. Firing his gun in the air.
Come get some!
Yeehaw. And, are you a only kid, Justin, or is there a sister or whatever?
I have an older brother.
Right. So maybe you'll appreciate the sibling rivalry of being a little... Yeah, actually, you'll get better, because I'm the older brother, you're the younger brother. Not the same family, obviously. But you can empathise with Owen, especially with a guy like Brett, who'd already been world champion at this point and King of the Ring.
Not going to taste very obvious enough. Yeah, I did empathise with Owen a little bit, but not so much because my brother and I always got along really, really well. We've had our moments over the years, but he was like my best friend growing up. So I really got the whole, sibling rivalry thing because it just never really manifested in my house.
Fair enough. In my family, we definitely did this a lot. Come here, you little gem.
You had slapping contests and put each other in crucifix pins. And
yes, but then you kick out a two, and then El Hebner was there. I got my knees and get him in an armbar. Which is really bad, actually, because Owen can do a lot of stuff here from this position. Billy Robinson would hate this.
I've just got images now of Mrs. Matthew, the Mama Matthew.
Mrs. Matthew. Mama, that's my mum, all right.
Mama Matthew. Mama Botch going, Matthew, stop kicking your brother's leg from under his leg.
So the Matthew had to invent Mama Mania, which was a collection of all times his mom had verbal malaprops.
Whoa. Mama Matthew.
Hey, you can't be upset about us talking about your mother, because on the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review, you talked quite in depth about how your stepdad, quote unquote, bought you WrestleMania so he could plow your mom.
Objection, Your Honor. I do protest. One, Lawler is guilty of many things other than strength of witness. And
plow
two,
your mom isn't one of them.
And two, that wasn't the stepdad. That was just a guy. How dare you say about my stepdad would do that?
Just a guy.
My stepdad would not need to buy me WrestleMania 2000 so I could, disappear for a few hours. Make sure you put the volume all the way up. Stepson.
This is before fidget spinners.
The problem is, though, WrestleMania 2000, that's weird music to make love to.
Well, I wouldn't know. I was too busy winning the world title with Blue Mean. Do what you want, then, Anka. You're my new dad, Anka.
You were Milhouse in the tent outside. I can sleep outside. Yeah, every night. Anyway, this wonderful, wonderful match here.
I know, right? What are we supposed to talk about when the match is gone? Oh, come on, clutch there.
I'll tell you my personal memory of this match.
Go on.
Yeah. Now, this WrestleMania aired at 4 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time, which was somewhat standard for that day. And as was custom in our house, we always ate dinner early on Sunday afternoons. So my dad, I remember very specifically, he actually got the deep fryer out. I was making, fried shrimp and stuff like that. So the whole house smelled great. But it was late in this match. The dinner was almost ready, and we were not leaving until this match was over. Like, guys, dinner's ready, and we're just in the living room. We're like, in a minute. You know, the food smells, like, delectable, and we're not budging. And after Owen wins, we're kind of shocked. I mean, spoiler alert, but next match, we realize it was a mixed tag, so we're like, okay, we'll miss that. We'll go eat dinner, and just good call on our part.
Yeah. No, that's good. Sorry. It's weird, because I remember the stories, but I don't remember, like, every bit of this match, so it feels like I watch this for the first time every time I see it.
Oh, it feels just like
the first time, every time. Want to spend the whole time in your eyes.
Tom, do your Eddie Vedder impression.
Clearly I remember picking on the boy. Oh, but we unleash a lion. How could I forget? Love doing Pearl Jam impressions. This is why I lost my voice earlier in the week.
What, you're saying your throat isn't alive.
Got it and give attention. Just give me a copy of WrestleMania while he plowed my mom.
Oh, we don't know. Beautiful German suplex.
Beautiful German suplex. Owen Hart.
Owen spoken. All
right. Try to erase this.
Animal.
Hey, you think don't these call... references are old? Wait until you see the celebrities they've got this year.
Don't call me Lawler until the charges drop. Don't call me Lawler.
She's my cherry pie. Got away with it. Don't ask why.
If you're listening to this and annoyed by this, I'd like to remind you, this is free. This is free content. You haven't paid anything for this.
It's free because we couldn't sell it. Beautiful counter. Oh no, the Austin Killer.
Oh,
Austin Killer. Rather you than me. It wasn't actually, it was a tombstone. Never mind.
Somebody's getting a text off Mark Calloway later.
It was weird. Owen just doing the tombstone. You're like, wait, hang on.
He's foreshadowing Taker's return. Call the hotline to find out more.
That's right. Undertaker died and now lives through me like Revolver Ocelot in Metal Gear Solid 4.
It's Friday 13th, part 9. It's like the body snatcher when Jason goes to hell. Taker goes to hell.
That's a good one. The only thing I know about that film was they apparently put a scene in that they thought would never get allowed, so it would take the attention away from the other scenes they wanted. And then it actually got allowed, and like, oh, okay, get in.
Oh, get, have it.
It should have been more violent.
Have that then.
Now describe it, but this is a nice family-friendly podcast. What? Unless that family is the Hart family, Hart clothesline by Brett, and what a perm he's got going.
Yeah, and nice flowing mane on the hip, man.
That's right. That's what the usual new Superman looked like in this time as well. Wasn't that the Superman a super mullet?
Superman had a mullet?
Well, yes. I think it was about 94. It was after he came back to life after he died. You know, comics.
Superman joined Skid Row?
Yes.
He was a slave to the grind.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
We are the Human League.
This is Zandig's theme.
Is it Zandig or Danzig?
Zandig. There you
go. Okay.
Bit of column A, bit of column B.
The Zandig.
Personal. Jesus! Someone to hear your prayers.
Well, I thought I'd bring up one of the best wrestlers of all time whilst we're talking about Bret Hart.
So, oh, yes.
CCW icons. Anna Nizaguri by Owen.
The Shawn Killer.
That's right. We've had the Austin Killer. And now it's Bret's Korea Killer.
Oh,
Hebner. No, not yet. Not yet. All right, now you can go, Hebner.
Oh, yeah, Earl hasn't bumped yet.
Apparently, according to, thought I'd listen to this, Something to Wrestle With podcast before this came out, so I'll be prepared. Apparently, Bret didn't want to lose to Owen until they explained to him, like, you know, because Bret's like, well, why? I've got to look strong for this. You know, I'm going to be in the title later on. And they're like, no, that's the idea. Then we have Owen versus Bret as feud. It's like, right. Plus, it's like, how can you possibly beat Yoko if you've had Owen to wrestle? Which would make sense, unless you saw how bad Yoko looks in the upcoming match with Luger. And you're like, well, mate, a strong gust of wind is what ends up beating Yoko.
Well, Yoko paced himself by doing 7 nerve holds. we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Oh, yeah. That'll be what we call intermission.
Was Owen's back roll press there the Rocky Maivia killer?
I like how all of
our... I don't get that one. Wait,
all of Owen's
that
moves
one.
Is like the something killer. Well,
okay. When Owen beat Rocky Maivia from the Intercontinental belt, not long after that, Rocky Maivia went away, came back as The Rock.
Oh, well done you. I did not know that.
He just dislodged his charisma so it could flow around his body more.
There you go.
He got CTE, and that's why he started calling him in the third person. Oh, and he kicked his leg from out of his leg.
And
is this
of course,
when
Owen...
we had the debut of Owen's those style of tights where it's like an homage to Brett's gear?
No, I think Owen kind of...
for a while.
Right.
Yeah, he's had to single it for a bit.
Oh, never mind. As much as went from like high energy straight to straight to Aldi Brett.
It's like single white female, baby. It's like I love single white female, but I also want to show my thighs off.
Big shout to Warren and Frederick at ringside.
Yeah.
Hey, one of them was Vlad.
Yeah, I was gonna say one of them was Vlad, but the other guy's not there, so it's WF. Yeah. They're working for the guy with the B to go, but he was.
I wish Brian had turned up.
They're here from a Wealthy Farms frozen foods. It's subliminal advertising.
What the hell kind of hold is this?
Modified Indian Deathlock.
Oh, right. I forgot you just called a move by calling it modified at the start. Thanks, Justin.
Yes. I watched this stuff for 30 years. I know. I learned all the tricks of the trade.
It was weird. I was doing circuits the other day, and after the circuits was a yoga class. And one of the things we were telling about was like, put your legs into a figure four position. And I'm like, oh, the figure fours existed way before the figure four log.
So now Matthew is banned from the gym.
But I knew I would do it perfectly to myself. So, you know, if that situation ever comes up, I'll be all right.
You quite literally kicked your own leg from under your leg.
to apply more pressure, turn the shin guard around.
Oh, another dragon screw leg whip there. As seen in WrestleMania 2000, as seen in my bedroom.
What?
Around 1999.
What's a dragon whip doing in your bedroom?
Tell me to don't come out for a few hours.
It's a dungeon.
I'm not wearing earphones. And the figure four leg lock right in the middle of the ring.
Modified figure four leg lock.
That's pretty basic.
I would just need a muffin. Yay!
like so he's doing crazy. The sitting pin from WWF Raw for Sega.
Sorry, say again, Justin.
I was saying, it's like almost doing the sitting pin from WWF Raw from Sega. Did the arms
yeah,
in the
was
air.
The most recent video game out, I imagine.
Yeah, that was coming out later in the year.
Oh. Oh, there we go.
At this point, it was still Royal Rumble, which was a tad slower. But altogether, great game for the mid-90s.
Justin.
Incredible.
Yes.
The reversing the figure four, does it really remove the pressure?
It actually does, because the foot that would be on Brett's ass, the one that Owen has tucked, if Brett pushes up, it turns almost like a half crab or a... Almost, you see how the leg is like hyperextended backwards. So it does work.
Okay, so there was a method to the madness on that then.
Yes.
Okay, I was always intrigued, and every time I saw it, there was nobody around to ask.
I don't know if it was the first time it ever happened, but back in the early '80s in Mid South, there was a match with Ted DiBiase as a babyface against Paul Orndorff, and DiBiase had the figure four on him, and Orndorff may have been the first man to ever reverse it because he turned it over, and DiBiase's like for 3 minutes is like fighting the pain of the hold, and you see how his leg is like horribly bent backwards. You can tell Orndorff like had like a lot of pressure ratcheted up on it. So DiBiase had to feel a little something.
I just realized that there. Brett launched Owen, and Owen took it. That's what Brett would do.
Yes.
Good. Yeah.
Oh, I love this match.
It's great, isn't it?
It's like Ken versus Ryu.
Can you please put the notifications on? Please, Tom.
I'll try, mate.
So did anybody else read WWF Magazine back in the day, or did anyone else read a specific issue?
I can't remember a specific issue, but I definitely subscribed to it when I was a kid, sure.
Right. Because I'm not sure if Russo or whoever was writing it or in charge of it. I don't know the individual writers at that time. But, I mean, they did a hell of a job explaining the backstory and everything that was important about this, because this is, the action may not be consistent through the card, but the interest is. I mean, I think obviously the buy rate didn't do any wonders and anything like that. However, it is a hell of a lot more interesting doing it this way with the double winners than just having a flat Luger versus Yoko or Brett versus Yoko match. So there's interest happening. And it is, it's lots of storylines going on, lots of cool stuff, and a nice suplex. No. What do you call that? Setup plex? Put him in a kid's chair. And now they call it a brainbuster in Japan, but we're not in Japan. We're in Madison Square Garden, baby. Superplex.
Look at the crowd is going nuts for every little thing.
It is great. Even the kids are like, yeah.
The story to this match was so simple and so good. It was just Brett going, I don't want to fight my brother. I don't want to fight my brother. And Owen just pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. Even to the point where even Brett went, he's just being an ass, but I'm not going to fight him. And then it was Jack Tunney who went, furthermore, you will fight Owen. And Brett's like, oh, for God's sake, fine. Yeah. I'll fight him, but I'm going to beat him.
Yeah, and I think it's the first time they've like gone, well, Brett, we keep on talking about being from the Hart Dungeon, Stu Hart. We completely messed over Stu Hart on that Stampede Wrestling deal and killed the company and all this, but they never really give the same virtues to Owen. It's like Owen is also from that wrestling family. Owen was also screwed over in the Stampede Wrestling deal. You know? So it makes it this way. Maybe the
I love the timing on this.
Go on.
Beautiful.
Yes, that was well done. I think they're talking on me, but I realise there is one of the best matches in history on TV right now. You
know, it's funny because according to Brett, they had pitched the idea for Bruce to be the one that he feuded with.
Really?
Yes. You must mean Bruce is the one I pitched it.
No. What happened was Brett gave his notice in the fall of 93, according to his memoirs.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Not because he wanted to leave, but because he wanted to put a little pressure on him and say, like, hey, you're not using me right. You want to get their attention a little bit. So they came to him with the idea of, hey, Brett tapped out, matches over.
I saw that.
See, Brett screwed Brett here. but they said, you'll do a few with one of your brothers, possibly Bruce, because you know he's been angling for a job for years. He says, wait, to mollify him also. And Brett said, but what about Owen? And Patterson originally tried to like dissuade him from it, thinking like Owen couldn't handle that position on the card. So Brett's thinking maybe Pat was the one that held Owen down all these years. But then Vince stepped in and goes, wait a minute, Pat, knowing he's trying to make Brett happy here, says, I think Owen would be fine for it.
Ah, because they did have an interesting relationship, Brett and Vince. But Brett, here we go. Never mind that. Victory roll, and the winner is Brett. No, Owen stops it. Holds on. That's it.
Sensational.
Oh, awesome. The spit in the mouth.
Exactly. It's like Doug and Snot at WrestleMania 5.
That's right. Just like Edward Cullen, the best time to have spit in your mouth. We all saw that.
It's when your son's playing WrestleMania 2000.
Well, I had the Lennon, man. He bought me one of the best wrestling games of all time. I mean,
Tom, the important thing is that everybody was happy.
Hey, you know.
That's what my mother says.
Miss Owen's middle finger there on Brett.
Wow. I love how that finish just sucked the air out of the garden.
Yeah, it was just... Everybody played the role well here, even though it was just two people playing the role, but that's still everybody. Owen's still the sniveling little douche, and Brett's the valiant fighter who just got bested by someone that is on his level. Is that Mike Johnson back there?
I looked like him, didn't he? Day to day, because he's always looked dog rough. And here we go. And again, Owen didn't cheat. He just out-wrestled him. There's no grabbing of the tights. Brett, did he underestimate him? Or was Owen just being that bit good?
It was important to Owen win
this
match
clean.
Find out
on the next episode of WWF Raw.
Yeah. When we have Bash and Booger taking on Duke the Dumpster Jersey.
In our main event.
It's a different area. It's a main event anywhere in the country. And Poughkeepsie's anywhere in the country, so therefore.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Owen has spit on his face, and he's the most dignified person in this shop.
Hey, you leave Todd Pedophile alone.
You mean Toad Petting Zoo?
A tree fell on my house.
I want to shoot a boat mover.
A tree did fall on his house.
I kicked your leg from under your leg, Owen!
Brett! Bruce! Bruce! Brett! Owen! Bashful! Dopey! Sleazy! All the hearts in attendance. No wonder it was a sellout.
It's like the Simpsons were cleaning, so brought all the kids to the car wash, or it was a Prince of Wagon episode. Yeah. Like,
Dale,
like going out.
Tiffany,
Q-Bert.
I think there were less fictional Dudleys than there were
really. Actual hearts.
Yeah. Bubba, Big Dick, Dudley, Chubby, Todd.
Oh, and yeah, we called WrestleMania too. Brett lost on that show too.
Yeah. Coliseum. Why is there a O of a U? Oh, good.
It annoyed me because there was an apostrophe after the O.
But I mean, it's Coliseum Videos.
It's I realise it's a WrestleMania moment that belongs to Coliseum Video.
Wow, that's a memory of WrestleMania 2. There was a battle royal. Why did we bring it up?
Bruno was in it. Why wasn't Bruno on this show? We're on the outs.
Yeah, like, you know, everybody else in the last 20 years, you know, Hogan, Savage, Orndorff, DiBiase.
What's wrong with the wrestlers we got?
And wow, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know who is cool and hip in the world of 1994, then you'll have to go Google because none of them are on this show. Here we have the president of the Hair Club for Men.
Hard cameras
if you don't think
side.
It works, side. If you are skeptical, please look at Howard Finkel and the small dog that now sleeps on his head. Holy Christ.
See, that's why Sidespot never got another job. He didn't know where the hard camera was.
Look, what a man.
I mean, it's a cracking haircut.
He has more hair there than at WrestleMania 1.
Sure does. All right,
well, I'm glad that's on a WrestleMania.
Sai's not going to smile till the check clears.
Wow, Fink looks...
looks
God,
boggled.
The production on that. They'd never look that zooming that well on an uncle-looking Fingle nowadays. I think it was almost like, yeah, you think this bit about my hair's crap. You ain't seen nothing yet. Here we go. Bam Bam and his main squeeze, Luna Vachon.
Yeah, Bam Bam with the there. Ultimate. How the hell am I going to follow that match phrase?
Yeah, that's it. This is the follow from that. I mean, what would you, Justin? What would you have fantasy booked to be the next match along?
Put a ladder match on now and send everybody home early.
So have all the main events first.
Just load up.
Sadly, can't get the Hair Club for Men for some reason.
Yeah, Bam Bam wouldn't go for that gimmick. It would cover up his great artwork.
I'd have done the 10-man tag here. I'm excited. Do you know what? I'm excited for the 10-man tag.
Oh, it's a crack of that one.
This one's in the bag. 10 men in the ring for a 10-man tag.
We've gone from Matt Bourne to gimmick died.
And as you mean, if you are a fan of Doink the Clown, you can go home now. This is not Matt Bourne. He was gone by, how much it was before or after Survivor Series 93. But that is Rey Apollo. And you can know it straight away because he's happy, nice Doink.
Yes, and this is the unfun Doink.
Evil clowns are great. Nice clowns suck.
This is it with a sh in front.
Hey.
Hey. Hey-o.
Steve Austin, what do you think of it? Well, if you want my opinion on it. And apparently there was a rumor that Bama Bigelow got Matt Bourne fired because they weren't friends.
Really?
Because Bigelow was the one who squeezed off that he had drug issues. But I think Bruce Pritchard responded that while saying, I think everyone knew that.
Pritchard responded
issues.
By saying, no, Sherlock.
Well, you know.
Well, you know. So it's a mixed tag match. I remember right. them saying this was the first ever mixed tag match. And I went, wait, hang on. What about WrestleMania 3? When Bundy had
six.
To be tough on the little beaver. But apparently, no. In 1994, women are the same as dwarfs.
That's correct. They've come a long way. This is what the suffrage movement brought us.
Wait, is Doink actually wrestling with the suit on?
Yes, he is. It's cold in the garden.
Yeah, all the heat's left.
He has to hide his clown nipples.
With a giant flower. He's got a giant flower on there if he's letting him wrestle with that giant green...
That's a foreign object. He can squirt him in the face with whatever's in there. Water, turpentine, who knows?
Okay. Oh, here we go. The star.
The hot tag.
Spring break. Dink the clown.
If Bam Bam booted him right in the face, we got the biggest pop on the show.
If he kicked him out of the ring like Kyle's brother from South Park,
we'd have got the crowd back.
Yeah, and some fan would have caught him in his hand like the ball at the Red Sox game. Finally, Vachon versus Dink. It only happens once a year. Oh, there you go.
Hashtag Dink was trying that.
Dink was trying that in Chicago. Chicago? No, where was Janelle's? Oh, whatever, you get it. Yeah, that's right, notifications. That's Janelle saying, can you please stop bringing me up? I'm sorry, Janelle.
Luna Vachon was brilliant at this point. Like,
yes,
there was so little emphasis on a women's division. By the fact we have a women's title. Like, Luna Vachon was just a force.
Yeah, Luna was quite in character, and she was great at it.
And she was so distinctive, she had the pleasure of being the only woman in the WF Raw game coming up.
That's right.
Straight Which out of kinda... Mad Max.
She's like the precursor to Sarah Logan.
Mm, okay.
Ah.
And that is not just a mullet, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. That is a super mullet. Oh, well done. Kicked them right in the dink.
That is Dee Snider's hair.
That is Dee Snider. Anyway, Dink became infamous for appearing at Georgiana's Spring Break, refusing to take any bumps or get eliminated from the Battle Royal. So the announcer, well, I forget who played, what was that night.
Was Dink really at the Spring Break?
Yeah, and he had to go, they had to basically go, Dink just been eliminated because he's just left. That was it. And he was around, as the match was on, I believe, he was at the concession stands, like signing autographs and waiting for people to give him money, with like the makeup worn off. So it looked pretty scary. Because he'd already done nothing.
Did you get a picture with him?
Left the match. You know, oh yeah, he's gone. He's not hiding underneath the ring like a Hornswoggle or anything like that. He's just gone.
Is that what happened? But then he left.
Were they not sure he'd known he wasn't going to take any bumps or anything before he turned up?
You don't really want much from Dink. You just want him to appear and, hey, that's why they've had, Mantor, who also did nothing.
Yeah.
You find out why no one's booked him for 20 years.
Hey, don't be hating on the patron saint of Cardaholic.
Hating on what?
On the patron saint of Cardaholic.
Mate, I can't turn off the things without shutting the browser down.
Oh, can you not?
So therefore, I'm...
Oh, we can't miss this match. You're right, Tom.
I'm busy eating fried shrimp at age 10.
So wait, could you not eat the shrimp and take it upstairs? Or was it a family meal and you had to...
Well, It was Sunday. It was like our day together. And
oh, okay.
The show had to come on at 4 o'clock because that's how Vince wanted it.
That's right. It's a shame. The last time I watched this, it was Bigelow versus Tatanka. And I was getting a bit sad, like, oh, Bigelow. He's a bit low on the card here, isn't he, wrestling a guy like Tatanka? Meanwhile, 2 months later...
This is actually not a terrible match.
Sorry, Justin.
Yeah, I said this is actually not a terrible match, all things considered.
Oh,
Bigelow and Doink are trying.
I was going to say, Doink, like Angle, taking down his strap, has removed the big coat.
Yes, he's going to put it back on later in matches to take it off again, just to show emphasis of how serious he is.
That would be wonderful.
That's it, we've gone from first gear to 1.5 gear.
Yeah, we're going to take her down a little bit because, you know, this is a marathon and we're going to tire very easily at this pace. Jumping DDT. I rock bottom myself.
That's what it was, wasn't it? I was looking at that and going, that does just look like he's just rock bottomed himself.
It's like Doink's wrestling the Invisible Man and he's selling for him.
Oh, wait, let's do the Raw review. Wait. Have you had those yet?
Not yet. We're getting there.
Fart noises to the whoopee cushion.
We're getting closer. You know, Tom, you know about that?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. For a brief period on Raw, when Doink would hit the whoopee cushion, aka the leg drop off the top rope, they added in and post that fart sound effect.
You're kidding. For real?
I know. I'm excited.
You're excited. You're excited. Feel these numbers.
I know. I was just thinking of every Zucker movie ever there. Basketball.
Yeah, that became their Hitchcock cameo, didn't it?
Pretty much.
What a match we have here.
He got quite a bit of distance for a guy his size.
Who, Dink?
Yes.
Oh.
Dink did barely anything in that match as well. So you know, I guess if Joey Janela hired him, like, he did about what he did here.
He hired him just like Vince hired Sean Sajak, just so he could fire him again. If you think that's harsh, wait until you see this little segment coming up.
Yes. Botchamania moment coming in shortly.
Oh, absolutely. Dink's like, because like, oh, you're getting closer to me? Dink's like, I have to walk closer to you to beat the hell out of you. He's like, oh, they come as close as you like. Luna kicks the Dink. Dink forgets how to work. Dink forgets the spot. Luna drags him. Do this move. And elevated scoop slam. Do we remember the move? Oh, he's going to get slammed. You little git. That's it, yeah. Luna has to dump him out the way, then sell the splash she just hit.
Now everyone's falling over.
So what?
And then he's still there. He's like, I'm going to eat you.
So was he meant just to lie there and just take the move?
Do you know what I mean? I don't know what the hell this was. I think it was supposed to go any other direction other than the direction in the way of Luna.
He's up quick, isn't he?
The way he pulled his hair on the mask, now it's like all distorted. Like, I think he's Rocky Dennis or something. Rocky Dinkus.
I forgot why I liked having you on the show, because it's just, hey, want to hear a stupid reference? No, but it's not a podcast for you.
I'm good for those.
Yeah, and I think Dink's telling them now, like, so what was supposed to happen?
what spots did I miss?
What's his profession, Brian? Wrestling. Oh.
Boy. Did you have fun there? And he went, get. Look at that man's sweater. Wait, no, zoom out. Zoom out again.
Oh, my God. It's the president of America.
As if the last segment we just had wasn't lowbrow enough. Hey, look, guys. A guy who looks like Bill Clinton. Is Bill Clinton.
Hope they do this now, WrestleMania 36 with Trump and Bray Wyatt sitting behind him. Or Bo Dallas, either one.
Well, maybe not Trump, because they're like, oh, look, and there's the president of the WWF to the right of him.
Furthermore, hail to the chief.
You mean Hall of Famer Donald Trump? He's better than Devil Lips.
No,
got
Hall of Famer Jack Tunney.
Thank you very much, Tom, for saving
money, Tunney.
Oh, yeah, Justin, I was talking to somebody the other day about this. Am I right in remembering that when Jack Tunney was leaving? Uh-oh. Get your tweets out. At Meltzer, 93,000. that they did they say on air like either as a joke or not, like they accused basically Jack Tunney of being on the take, and that's why they're getting rid of him.
I don't know if they did that or not, but I know they definitely acknowledged on the air that he was out and Monsoon was in. I can't recall them referencing any sort of financial dealings, but I know Nash came out after the fact and said he was a crook who skimmed money off of the Toronto shows.
I mean, yeah, I know the wrestlers, you know, that Nash in particular said, yeah, every time they went to Canada, Tony had a new car. But but I thought, like, in real life, I swear I remember seeing something online that they were like, one of the last things they did was like, Monsoon was like, hey, Tony, what are these numbers? He's like, that money was just resting in my account.
I do know that after he passed away, they said that nobody from WWE went to his funeral.
Oh, that's sad.
Because he was just a promoter then, I guess. And they needed one to promote stuff in Canada. That's why he was there. He got a cut.
But after a while, he wasn't really needed anymore. He was just like a token figure.
Right.
And after a while, they just said, you know what, the hell with it. We don't really need him anymore. So this is Savage's last WrestleMania match and appearance.
It's not his last wrestling televised appearance for WWF, though, is it?
It might be his last televised match. Let me check that real fast.
I swear there's one more coming up. But
I thought we had his last match, but it was on Raw, which was Loco and Savage.
Last televised world title match.
Right.
Because he has one in Japan with Brett coming in the spring.
Oh, that's right. They did the war tour. So
yes.
They had Hakushi versus Undertaker.
Was it called the war tour?
Oh, sorry. War was the name of the wrestling and romance.
Oh.
Yes, that's what it was called.
Okay, so let's
speaking,
see.
Whilst I'm looking to see what Savage's last match and stuff was, here we have another one of the amazing storylines we had during this time. Crush's heel to look at the bald spot on Savage. Holy Christ! I do not enjoy watching this in HD. Savage basically encouraged Crush to go after Yoko and try and slam him on the USS Intrepid, or the USS Tepid during the numbers at that time. And Crush ended up damaging his back during that encounter.
Really?
And then was off for a bit, and then came back and blamed Savage, and said that he did not come see him or check up on him when he was injured. Brah. So demanded that he
AC Dre
match.
Did something very similar to Mickey the Dragon.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, when Mickey the Dragon took time away, AC Drake stopped calling him.
Oh.
In fact, as we, I imagine. Oh, hang on, whoa!
Oh, no, my story.
It's over.
Right, ring the bell.
Thanks very much. Right, on to the next thing. No, that's not
how it works. Just a minute. It's a full count anywhere match, and they have 10 seconds to get back in the ring.
60.
And I've only ever seen the stipulation in this match at this show.
Yes. By the way, to answer everyone's question, this is Savage's last televised match until he wrestles Arn Anderson on Saturday night in January of 95.
Ah.
Wow. What a way to go.
In fact, his last match with WWE, period, September 13th, 1994, in Rostock, Germany, when him and Brett beat Neidhart and Owen.
Wow.
He doesn't have 10 seconds to get into the ring. He has 60.
I was going to say it.
But 60 seconds that the referee just decides, because the referee doesn't, unless the referee is counting in his head, it's they're not.
Oh,
he's not
another great shot.
Why doesn't Side Sprawling help him?
Oh, Fink just shouted 30 seconds.
Oh, no, Fuji.
Oh, Fuge.
Where's Monsoon? You need him a shot. He Pearl Harbored him.
He's sitting right over there next to Chet Kopic.
I think we heard him if he yelled it. We couldn't hear him because he was accusing Jack Tunney of
being on
the side.
What
so
a miscarriage of justice.
Go on.
This is a miscarriage of justice, according to Monsoon.
Where did he hit him, Justin?
Right in the external occipital protuberance.
Ah,
I was going to say the breadbasket.
How many referees do you think they need in this match?
At least two. You know, one on the outside, one on the inside to maintain order. So here's a sad fact. Both wrestlers, the referee, the manager at ringside, and both Radio WWF announcers are all deceased.
Wait, is that Monsoon's kid?
Yes, that's Joey Morell, who passed away.
That's what we look like. All right.
Less than 4 months later.
McMahon and Lawler are still with us, though, so that's all right.
Yes, Vince has somehow made it this long, because he'll never die.
He's punched him in the dick.
That's how Vince stayed alive.
What's a false camera match? You can punch a guy in the dick if you want. It's not
as
ethical, but hey.
Anywhere, it's fine.
Yeah. So, Savage and Crush were friends in real life.
Yes.
The main friends. Crush was a...
It's not the time to do coke, Crush. It's not the time to do coke, mate. Come on, wait till the after party.
I just watched a Futile and Stupid gesture the other night. He pulled that coke out of a tennis ball.
Anyway. Oh!
He got coke in his eyes! Oh, the crowd are high as a kite now!
Pearl powder. No, Monsoon, that doesn't work. I still like Savage during this period wearing these crazy outfits.
I love the outfits that Savage has at this time. They're brilliant.
Because I grew up watching this type of Savage. He's Randy Andy Savage. That's why he's dressed like, you know, a party decoration shop.
A cooked up rodeo clown.
That works as well. And so it was weird seeing him later on just wearing, you know, it looked plain to me. Where, oh, he's only got a bandana and shades. Oh, it's a bit boring, isn't it? Where's his giant novelty cowboy hat?
I'm just processing the fact that you said he's called Randy Savage because he's Randy and he's Savage.
He's Randy Savage.
Like a molester.
Look, stop talking about Lawler, Tom. For Christ's sake, we're trying to have a nice, dignified podcast here. Talk about people getting with me, mum. And you're having to ruin it with these disgusting innuendos. Three count. 60 seconds.
Sing along with three count. Party on forever. I love the anticlimactic nature of it. Flying elbow, it's over. Now he's got to run to the floor. Oh, okay, now he's going to cover on the floor. Yeah, he wins.
And, of course, this is Evil Crush. Because when he came there to the WF around this time, after Demolition Run, he was from America. But when he came back and pledged allegiance to Mr. Fuji, he was from Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
You got that. Good.
Yes, which the 50th state of Bobby Heenan called it a suburb of Guam.
Oh, God. He is conspicuous by his absence. Oh, God.
Bobby would have made the show so much better.
We would have enjoyed it. I'm not sure if we would have made it better.
Is Bobby just waiting in the wings now at WCW?
I think he's already there at this point.
Oh, would he been on air by this point?
Yeah.
From the Clash of Champions, right?
I think so, yeah. Ergo, stop following me everywhere.
Yeah, because Mean Gene comes out with that red sweater and he looks like he's trying to sell you a car. It's weird. And yeah, the match must continue. Conrad and Bruce were very negative with this match, which I think they're very harsh on it because I don't think remember it being that bad. I mean, it's an odd gimmick, but you know, it's Randy Savage, as I've just said. He's Randy Savage. So
Savage deserved better though than this dumb gimmick. Just him, like
he wanted to put his friend over. Well, not that much over.
Yeah. I mean,
ended up being Crush's manager when Crush started an ill-fated boxing career, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think it went anywhere. But there's definitely photos of the two of them looking rather good for men their age, shall we say?
Yeah, Savage was his hype man, and Crush was actually his bodyguard. And Savage was a rapper, which is an actual sentence
right
with truth.
Well, because I get it. Be Crush a man, was a popular old guy. He was as popular in the locker room as he was unpopular on wrestling review sites. You know, was never a great in-ring guy, and would stick around the WWF the remainder of this year. And isn't it weird? He's kind of there, but then he's not there because he had the house arrest. I was under house arrest, whatever, for all the guns and drugs he had.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's rehired him because people liked him. Cancel culture was another thing in the mid-90s.
And worked his conviction into the angle by making him Jailbird Crush. Crush worked for WrestleMania.
And over the gold guardrail.
Crush shout out to Oliver Bryan in the crowd.
The thing is, Crush worked four WrestleManias, all under the name Crush, but with a different gimmick each time.
That must be unprecedented.
Oh, so WrestleMania 9 is against the Doink.
He's Happy Hawaiian Crush.
Yeah. And then it's
here he's Japanese Crush here.
Yeah.
Mania 7 is Demolition Crush. Against Tenru and Fred Cattell.
Oh, right, that one. Yeah, okay.
So and Mania 13. Mania 13, he's part of Black Militant Faction Crush.
Yeah, he was. He was in the that
original incarnation of Nation of Domination.
That six-man tag against Ahmed and the Legion of Doom.
Oh, underrated match.
That was just all action for 12 straight minutes and just beat the crap out of each other.
See, if Savage was a bad person, this would be now. He would have gone, right, bye, lads. painting out WCW with his fingers and just got in a car and left. Him and Johnny B. Badd would have drove to WCW. And this is an avalanche. I never thought was bad until people point out to me as an adult. I'm kind of in denial. So, all right, Savage, right. Well, that's enough time. Wait.
That is an awful finish.
He hit him with flashed into a door. So,
wait, Crusher, every arena has one of these.
So every Crusher's arena mania has a sex winch.
Hang on, Crusher's mania jobs. At 9, he gets hit with an arm loaded with batteries. 10, he gets his head smashed into a door. And 13, he's clotheslined with a 2x4 by LOD.
Yeah.
He does not job through wrestling moves.
He likes jobbing as much as he likes gun laws. And wow, you can tell Savage has a scouting badge. Look at the... Oh, look at that knot.
That is some quality knotting from match.
Yeah,
time to wake up the gimp.
Hey! Seconds later.
Quick, Crush, get up.
Pal drives himself.
Good enough.
Do you know what I'd love to see? Okay.
That again.
Yes.
Savage go back, wince him up, and then drop him on his head again.
And you know what's amazing? Like, we live in a time, and I don't know whether this has got stateside yet, Justin. We live in a time where this could happen again. This sort of match could happen again.
Oh, Fuchi's getting beat up.
Right?
Can't remember that. Jesus.
You're familiar with the Progress Proteus Championship, aren't you, Matthew?
Oh, no.
Right? So have you heard of the Proteus Championship, Justin?
I think I have.
So, if you don't know what it is, the Progress bottom match are you won. So, the Progress Proteus Championship.
Beautiful.
If you win it, you determine the stipulations on how you defend it. So, the guy who's just won it for the first time, he's given his stipulations. And basically, the only way you can win the belt is if you make him submit or you knock him out. And also, if you use the belt as a weapon, you're immediately disqualified, which I love because like protecting the belt. So somebody could feasibly win the Proteus Championship and they could say, right, it's WrestleMania 10 Falls Count Anywhere rules.
That's nice. And I'm surprised that no one has done like a, hey, remember WrestleMania 10 on the network? Let's do that. I don't think anyone, either even Chikara or like on a random, it was WrestleMania Raw, where they make like WrestleMania rematches, whatever. Yeah. I've done like a, hey, let's do a WrestleMania 10 Randy Savage thing.
Okay, so in order to win the belt from Pete Dunne, you must beat him in a hog pen match.
Yeah,
yeah, you get it.
Exactly.
Go get him. Get your tights on. And, back to this. Well, anyway, while Todd's killing the mood, I'm trying to think, obviously that was Randy Savage's last televised WWF match. What was his last televised good one? Because he had a rotten run in WCW for a while where it felt like every match had the Randy Savage gets beat up for a bit, then he hits the elbow and wins formula.
How about Halloween Havoc 97, him in DDP?
There you go, that came back. But before this, was it the Yoko match on Raw?
Yeah, that match was really good, actually. Right.
Awesome. By the way, that guy looks nothing like Bill Clinton from this camera angle. That is shocking. He should always be filmed, like, Dink should film him from now on. From that angle, he looks like him.
He has, like, a Phantom of the Opera mask on. Like, I have a blemish on my face, I'm trying to hide it. I just found something very amazing here.
It's IRS. Guys,
it's the Fiend's dead. On the January 4th, 2000 New Japan Tokyo Dome show, Savage lost to Rick Steiner.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that match. It's one of his last televised matches.
How bad was it?
Randy Savage goes to the top rope and falls off.
Okay. That tells me all I need to know. Among Savage's last 10 matches ever, he wrestled Evan Courageous on Thunder.
That's right.
In the summer of 99. And it ends in a no contest because Evan Courageous doesn't do jobs.
I remember that. I think it was Raven on a podcast said he was the Lex Luger of the cruiserweight.
So he had a bus?
Yes. Yeah, he had a T on the end.
I'm Evan Courageous?
I'll be your hero. And is this the one where we see... Okay, it's a fan fest, ladies and gentlemen, which is where we see... Yeah, you go. It's Access.
Yes.
Did they do Access nowadays?
It was kind of like the... It was like the first Access, wasn't it? But it wasn't called Access. Right. Called the Fan Fest or something.
Right. But no.
Why is there a giant clown there?
Ignore him. He's donk. So it's one of these, ultimately, the recaps of this in a later show. Johnny Storm Okay, UK wrestling legend. Mm-hmm. A few words.
Wow.
I think it's this one. It's a... God, that one could be in. No, it's just some kid.
It's two Asian guys.
Like now. Anyway, there we go. That's Rick Steiner versus Randy Savage in Japan. where is he? Where are you, Johnny Storm?
Is he the kid with Paul Bearer there?
No, he's like, he's like, oh, it's great, mate. Coming all the way over to England to do all this and all this.
Nice to take her.
Just seen briefly.
Nice to take her took time away from, or Paul Bearer took time away from trying to find Undertaker somewhere in order to hang out with fans at FanFest. Here's Savage's last mania appearance.
Undertaker was doing a European tour of autograph signings while he was recovering.
Meanwhile, here's Randy Savage about to do a PowerPoint presentation for a business conference.
Whoa. Is that hot? New York guy just takes out the cameraman. Hey, wise guy, huh? Oh, he's not doing well here. This camera. Yeah, cut that. Yeah, cut the vortex. Fantastic. WrestleMania 4 sucked.
It wasn't the finest hour.
This is all you need to see. That's right. That happened. And then, oh, that happened. Good job he's had a hard hat on. Oh, and then that happened, as opposed to the WrestleMania 3 rematch. Oh, and then that happened.
But the important thing was it happened 45 minutes from my house.
Oh, is that how close Vegas is to you?
Atlantic City.
Oh. Wait, what? I thought...
In New Jersey.
Vegas.
There we go, Leilani Kai. Oh, gosh.
She looks...
Wow.
I was going to say, I thought she had the old Japan women look going on there, but it may just be...
Japan women look going on there. God.
I'm ready for a night on the town. I can't tell.
Versus,
that is... Yeah,
the
this
place
is a weird
currently
thing
in the
to
ring.
See. In the WrestleMania. Okay, they wanted Alundra Blaze on the show because Alundra Blaze was the women's division at this time.
Yeah.
However, due to the complete absence of pushing anybody, we have Leilani Kai, who had appeared at WrestleMania 1.
I like the connection. I'm a fan of the connection to the past to go, and it's a great way to get over your new women's champion. Let's beat one of the original women's performers, but... Wow. I mean, like, but this is the equivalent of saying, like, Bret Hart is going to face, well, Bret Hart's going to face Hulk Hogan.
Jones.
We tried
SD
that.
Yeah, that went well. But no, yeah, you were right. If they'd pushed Leilani Kai or mentioned her for longer than after the last WrestleMania 10 years ago, you're right. This is just, oh, yeah, by the way, guys, she was at WrestleMania 1. You remember? No, we couldn't have... I don't know why we didn't have Moolah here or Mae Young or whatever, but... So, if you can think of anything interesting to say during this, well done.
Yeah,
I mean, like Alundra Blaze isn't a bad wrestler.
Oh, no, I thought she was great.
Like, she was
tremendous.
You know, at a time when women's wrestling is... So, oh, there's Owen Hart, apparently.
Hey, wait.
Hey,
money?
From the back, I mean...
Well, the thing about this is, I don't know, I'm at a loss for words here because this match is, I have like no memories of this at all. Even though I probably watched it a million times, it's just there.
Yeah,
Tom,
no,
I think.
Can't think of it.
I just wish they'd given like this. There is a story there. They just chose not to tell it, which I think is a shame.
But as was said, like the fact that this show is as good as it is amazing. So the fact that they've got Leilani Kai versus Alundra Blaze with no build up, I think they probably went to Vince and goes, all right, Vince, I know you're on trial and your family may be ruined forever, but what do you think the storyline should be for the Alundra Blaze match? What?
Just think, though, lads. Think, lads, how much this division would change. It would take 25 years to get there. But to go from this, which is, by the way, the women's champion's in action at WrestleMania, to the women's title match is the main event of WrestleMania.
Yes,
which I think's cool. We're cool. I'm cool that we're at that point where it's like, you know what? The best match gets the best place, and all matches get the chance to get the best build.
Well, keep in mind, in 5 years, we're going to have Sable versus Tori.
Well,
Tori and her hideous cat suit.
And Leilani Kai, also known as Patty Stone Grinder.
What?
Like
Patty Stone Grinder.
I know what those two words mean, but not in the same sentence. And, wow,
it's like an Alice in Wonderland character.
And she'd be going since 1975.
I could see it.
I know, lads, you're all thinking, wow, that can't be right yet. No.
Yeah. Oh, I can believe it.
She has like Thundercat's hair.
There is an element of like Thundercat's hair and Cats the Musical about the outfit.
I know, it's...
Yeah, but... and Thundercat's the new CGI film in the face.
It's just the eyebrows that caught me off guard. It's the eyebrows.
I'm as surprised to be booked as you are.
It's like, but, yeah, the I'm surprised I'm booked expression permanently on the face of Lalani Kai.
In fairness to her, her and Judy Martin had some really great tag team matches with the Jumbie Bomb Angels like 6 years before this.
Oh, God, she did, didn't she? I forgot she was part of them. Yeah, those are some way ahead of their time matches.
Oh, absolutely. That match at Survivor Series 87 that had, Rock and Robin and...
Yeah.
Velvet McIntyre. There were some amazing moves in that match for 1987 women's wrestling. That one where, I can't remember who Martin had on her shoulders, it may have been Velvet, up in the electric chair, and then slingshotted her out of that. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah, the Jim and Bomb Angels, if anyone's listening, so I have no clue what we're talking about. You can go on the network, and there are a bunch of matches there.
And that's it.
Suplex yeah. City.
The Japanese women in the late 80s, early 90s, probably the best wrestling on earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all the indie guys in America got their moves from.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this murderous row. Like, hey, wait. Where were they in the ring? They're only 60. Time of the careers. Put them in the microwave for 30 seconds suit. Under frost. They'll be all right.
Nicolinas one suit.
And there you see at ringside, young rookies, Mae Young and the Fabulous Moolah coming to NXT soon.
Yeah, hey, you love the new generation. Sorry, Nikolai Volkov will be on Raw soon. Ugh.
Mae Young had a kid 6 years later.
She certainly did. She certainly did.
Quit the wrestling business, became a handyman.
Hey!
Hello.
Get this man a can of Coke.
Is Mark Henry's favorite kid's food handy snacks?
WrestleMania 5 with Piper versus... what's that guy's name?
Morton Downey Jr.
John.
Morton Downey Jr.
Morton Downey Jr., that's right. He played Iron Man.
And fun fact, that's who Morton Cooper from Mario Brothers was named after.
Really?
Yes. Oh. Because he was the cantankerous one.
That's the thing they chose to pick for WrestleMania 5.
Yes.
One for... Oh, right, I'm looking forward to this match because I remember this being the tits because the Quebecers were a class above everything in this division. These are not the Quebecers, by the way, if you don't know what they look like. This is Men on a Mission with Oscar the Grouch.
This is the original New Day.
Yeah, this is Vince. We need some black representation on TV. You got it. Wait, Vince. What do you know about what black people are doing? Sorry. I think I know.
See, who Vince's favorite rappers is Everlast, Marky Mark. Yeah. Mel Vision was not terrible, I should point out. History's not been kind to them, but they've actually a pretty solid team. Further limitations.
I think that old Ole Anderson line about Jim Cornette, I'll just rephrase it. I thought Men and Mission were the worst. And they haven't gotten better. It's just worse teams have come along.
Yes. They moved up without doing anything.
Exactly. You've improved without doing anything.
I used to think you were a dumb F, but so many dumb Fs have come along since then.
That's it. I try to think of a censored way of saying it, but you just can't do it.
It's a great quote, though.
Look at the cameraman trying to find any black people. We'll be caught dead dancing to this.
God.
Come on, where are you?
Jesus Christ. Jeez, back.
Oh, wow. It's,
Todd Pettingill and Rhonda Shear. And we zoom in on Todd Pettingill.
And yes. Who was Rhonda Shear, Justin Henry? You're American.
She hosted a show on USA called Up All Night. It was like a movie double feature.
Didn't Gilbert Godfrey used to present that?
Yeah, it was for a while. It was her and him. They did like the bumper segments.
Gilbert Gottfried and Rhonda Shear.
Richard from Friends.
Yes, that's what he's known for.
Burt Reynolds. It's
Richard from Friends, as we all know.
That's right. Burt Reynolds with his bandaged up arm after punching out a mugger days beforehand.
Yes. Is that true?
Allegedly.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure that's what he said.
His Alchemist's worst enemy. They tried.
What a great time we're having!
They could have said anything. Like, Burt Reynolds, what's your favorite holiday? Auschwitz. Good one.
We have a Ring of Honor Tag Team Champion in here.
Wait a minute. Did we just skip the World Tag Team Champion's entrance for friggin' Reynolds and Shea to do some double entendres?
Yes.
Some double entendres.
Double entendre. What was he doing here?
And
Johnny Polo.
And Stereo.
Well, again, I remember this being an underrated match that for some reason no one else apart from myself likes. But again,
I liked
the man love I have with the Quebecers and just how good they were. Okay, look at this. Okay, that was not what I was expecting it to be. But we're going to see
expecting
this stuff.
What were you expecting?
But the
from
reason
the
why
Brett rope.
This is actually a very important match. This is the beginning of the end of the WWF Tag Team Division.
Pretty much.
Until the New Age Outlaws got their hands on it in, like, 98. Because the Quebecers were keeping everything together because it was so effing great. This match, because both of the Quebecers have, what's the word I'm looking for here? The big think highly of themselves, not, like, being disrespected.
They are arrogant.
I don't want to say that, but no, like, no, that people
confidence?
Say that about Brett. Yeah, they believe in the power of themselves. They were apparently misled about what this finish was going to be and where it was leading to. As we'll see, it doesn't go anywhere. And it also didn't help that Bruce Pritchard was trying to look for ways of skimming time off the show because certain people were going long and to the point where, well, the matches had to be cut out. Sorry, spoilers.
What? I hope it's not the 10-man tag.
No, nothing.
That one's in the bag.
It's fine.
No, it's Brett and Yoko. They did some airline roll last night.
Imagine if it was.
Brett Yoko goes 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3, we're off the airbag. That they end up getting a shouting contest with Bruce because Bruce said, I want you to cut some time. And they went, we did. And he went, you didn't. You went even longer than the time I gave you. And there was a shout match. And they ended up like basically saying, no, we want to leave after this. They left at pretty much the same time as the Steiners. And after this basically builds up to where it's going, it looks like it's going to be resulting in a tag match with no rules or whatever. The Quebecers' run, run in WF ends with out of nowhere loss to the Head Shrinkers.
That's a bummer because they were carrying the division.
They were carrying it so well, and then after this, it was the world of let's see if we name all the crappy tag teams after this until then.
Okay, so
Head Shrinkers. You name one, Tom.
Well done.
You name one, Justin.
Techno Team 2000.
Oh, that was 95 as well, wasn't it? The Body Donners.
The Godwins.
Yeah.
Damn it. The Squat Team.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Barely counts, but all right.
I'm
the
counting.
New Rockers.
Tom.
Furnace and LaFon?
Don't you dare say they were bad.
Oh.
Look at that.
Look at that. Just back up them out of the ring. PCO.
Ring of Honor star, Quebecer Pierre.
I was going to say, PCO learned from this and know how to, you know, calm his offense down and became a map-based technician at the age of 50. A lot better than the new Blackjacks.
I don't know whether either of
New Black, there you go.
I don't know whether either of you have seen what merchandise PCO is selling.
Is he selling a car battery? Jackets?
Matthew said a jacket. Justin, you said a car battery. Justin's actually the closest because you can now buy PCO jumper cables.
Sweet.
Yeah. Now you can start your car like PCO starts his day.
I love having disposable income. I can't wait to get them.
This is why I haven't got kids.
I was good at PCO came to Hartlepool last year. What was it this year? I forget. And I was like, oh, I'll go see. What the hell was that?
Jeez.
You see, Tom? Tom, you see?
Looked
like he powerbombed himself. I thought I blinked. God, see, what a match. Why does no one talk about this classic? Yeah, it was going to be a Hartlepool, and it was the same day that a train strike ended up happening. And I went, oh, I don't want to get stuck in Hartlepool. So I didn't go. He got signed a Ring of Honor, realizing that I'll never see him again.
Sure he will. He's going to keep wrestling for like another 40 years.
Yeah, whatever deal with the devil he's made, it's paying off. Oh, like, leg drop, misses Mo, and I don't know how he missed that. He's the size of a small foreign car.
He's immense.
Johnny Polo doing a good job here of keeping this match alive. Last time he'd be at next time he'd be at WrestleMania, he'd be trying to kill the show with a golf cart.
Has Johnny Polo outsuited Little Richard? He may have.
Who are you to doubt Little Richard?
All right, Brett from the 90s.
How dare you say you're not putting any effort into a show he clearly has no interest in.
Rock bottom! Rock bottom!
Kind of a boss slam, but not really.
He's the big boss, Mabel.
So what was it about Mabel, that or Viscera, that they thought, we have to put you in a full body outfit to make you sweat as much as possible?
Because this was a recurring theme, wasn't it? Until they decided in 2008, you know what, let's just have him wear no clothes at all.
We had thankfully the Kindred senses and put him in a singlet.
Double suplex on Mabel.
And we went, no, put the bin bag back on quickly.
Weighs more than the country's debt. Okay, this isn't quite the match classic I believe it is, but it rules in highlight form. This makes a great gif.
It was fine, it wasn't it?
Oh, I mean, there's so many great these guys versus X-Pac and Spark Club Holly.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that shirt. That was one of them. The Steiners. They had great matches. The Hearts. Oh, sure, I'm forgetting some now. Where's the Russell?
If someone had told you that Johnny Polo in 9 months would be dressed like a heroin addict and slapping around Stevie Richards in bingo halls, would you have believed them?
And be one of the hottest things in wrestling.
Yes.
Don't be silly. And that's it. Le Bombe de Rougeau. Every time I see an F in Quebecers match,
he Mabled up.
What's that mean? What's that call called?
The Tower.
The Tower.
I quite like the Bombe de Rougeau, though.
Yeah, that was a Rougeau's move. Name. That's when Jacques would throw his crotch at your face while Raymond held you up. Or other way around, whichever.
I think it's just called the Harmless Rib. Mabel's punches are pretty effing awful here, I've got to be saying.
Oh, he's tired.
His arm's nearly... There's no bend to his arm.
Why did he bump then like he'd lost his rings in Sonic the Hedgehog?
He should throw the judo chop like Baba or something.
Oh, no.
Right, that was kind of cool, actually.
Malfunction at Le Junction. So play with my Haribo. Oh. I always like Viscera's spinning leg kick because it looked like it legitimately kill you.
I guess it did.
And you can imagine Bruce Pritchard watching this and he's like, go home. Go home.
You're
and Carlo
drunk.
And Carlo Lee's like, that's not very nice. En français. And this is it. Oh, the
push fall.
It should have been ill-advised to give Mabel a push.
The best push that Mabel ever had.
Oh, finally, Oscar versus Polo. To the death.
This is why we're here. Winner faces Luger.
Get a Raven versus Oscar, ECW.
Womp, there it was.
Womp, what the...
Oh, there we go. Coming for it on the outside. Yes!
Crisscross, make you jump.
The unexpected push.
Le Splat de Rougeau. And that's it. Count it out. Well, if you're going to kill a guy on the outside...
I like how the Quebecers coordinate their outfits of Poland just like NyQuil bottles. One's green, the other two are red.
There's no reaction quite like the reaction of a crowd after a count out in a title match where the crowd go, yeah! It means they didn't win.
There's not even balloons here to let them know who the real winner is.
That was the wrong one, wasn't it?
When that's a good point, actually, Justin. That's a very good point. When Luger won by count out, we had balloons and celebrations.
But Luger didn't have Oscar, so this kind of bounces out.
Right. So in the WF magazine that I had, it had like a fake quote from an admission going, we want Quebecers in a no count-outs, no disqualification match so we can get the definitive win over them. So logic would state that they were going to have that match or it was building up to this and instead it went nowhere. I probably should have saved that for after the match rather than saying it all during. I do apologise. I'll get better. So it can't get worse. But it's got to be better than whatever they're going to show for WrestleMania 6. What's it going to be?
Bob Goulet. Goulet.
Ooley.
So what if he is notorious big Kenny Croon? That was my dream role, guest host Will Ferrell playing Robert Goulet for 2 hours or 3 hours.
Yeah. Oh, not like that old wrestling, eh? Hogan and Warrior. 2 years later.
Thank
Please
God.
Welcome back to the WWE.
All right, celebrity time with very sappy music.
Oh, boy.
Hey, it's a guy from Blue Bloods. Not Regal or Bobby Eaton, but Donnie Wahlberg.
Donnie Wahlberg. No, not that Wahlberg. The other one. Hemp Wahlberg. Hemp. I mean, Shemp. Oh, whatever. Sure, man.
Hemp Wahlberg.
It sounds stupid enough for people to laugh at.
Well, he is pretty mellow.
You nitwit.
Yes, the Wahlbergs are known for their eye pokes and their bops on the head.
And what is she? What is Donnie? Ah!
Right. Who
else? That's obviously Owen Hart.
That guy's furious taking a job off her.
Thank God for more of my boobs.
If she was there for Montreal, Brett never would have lost. The match would still be going to this day.
He looks like the evil coke dealer in a late 90s film.
He's one of these guys in an advert where they go, hey, don't do drugs. Look out for guys like this who's going to sell you the wacky backy.
No, shave him bald, it's Berlin.
No, Bud Bundy walked in. Hi, I'm Christopher Daniels.
So this was a nice surprise.
Yes, Kurt
Hennig. He's perfect in his pajamas.
I just woke up. What's going on? That's right, Mr. Perfect making his almost annual appearance at this point.
Pretty much.
Nothing really working for him. But the only thing that was working was that Lloyd's of London insurance policy.
He was supposed to show up in WWE and be that masked man that attacked Hogan later that year, but ended up being Beefcake instead.
Yeah, that worked well.
Yeah, you could have been Mr. Spiffy in WCW instead of Mr. Perfect.
Right. Oh, I remember that old thing.
Spiffy!
Mr. Adequate.
Above average.
He's Mike Sanders.
Oh, yeah, those are... Oh, yeah. Whoops. Is it weird to say that I have no idea how old Ronda Shearer is?
I'll look it up.
No, I mean, like, here. Because you can't tell. She's had lots of plastic surgery. Does she normally look like that? Like...
Well, I'll let you guess, and I'll tell you how close you are, because I can do it.
I never play that game.
I'm going to say she's about 3 noses old.
At this point, she is, according to Wikipedia, she is 39 years old here.
Wow.
Okay, she's 39.
I would look that good at 39. I want boobs like that at 39. All the boys would come to my yard.
Look for my father.
Tom, all the boys come to your yard anyway.
Hey, thanks, Justin.
Boy, Fuji's tall.
Red is slimming.
Oh, in case you're ever wondering, Ronda Shearer's middle name is Honey.
Oh, really? That's cute. Honey Shearer.
She was Miss Louisiana in 1975.
Can we point out that Fuji slipped over the steps there? Matt, did you write that down?
You mean the star of Fuji Vice?
The very same star of Fuji Vice.
But he didn't follow the steps. He was getting his knob out to prepare to piss on Perfect as he shook his hand while staring him dead in the eyes. Daring him to do anything.
That would have been amazing.
Imagine the imagine the number of people Fuji would have killed if he hadn't found wrestling. Distracting from his sociopathic tendencies.
I'd have loved every second of that.
I think Cornette has outsuited both Polo and Little Richard.
Cornette looks stunning.
Oh, Cornette is in full-on Dracula Gottfried mode.
All right, listen to Vince here when Luger approaches the ring. Vince goes in the Vingasm mode. This ring now, for 15 years, be playing Tom Stelk's son on TV.
Luger Hart in the main event.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
What I'd say is that WWF have always, what they've always got right, almost that 98% of the time always got right, is making guys and girls look like stars. Like that shot then when the camera went up the ramp, went up towards the door, the doors opened, and there's just like this silhouette of Luger. Like he and me, like we know he's a bit of a banter jockey. Really, we know that it's a bit of a joke. But my God, if you're watching this for the first time, you're going, "That guy's a star. He's amazing."
Yes. Please cheer for him. Yes.
I'd like to point out Yoko is already pagged. Top ringing.
That's good it. Job, Ronda.
That's it. Well done, Ronda.
Ronda got paid about $100,000 a ding there.
Yeah, but she sat next to Gary Oldman in a 90s film, so sorry. Oh, God, I don't want to see this match in HD. Yoko's back is just disgusting.
Yoko's already got a stitch. And he's thinking, one of two. God damn it, one of two.
You can see Vince McMahon feeding Yokozuna backstage. Look worse. Make Luger look better.
Slow and steady wins the race.
He's asleep and he wakes up and there's Vince shoving a steak in his nose.
No,
Vince. Hey, I know fat jokes are easy with Yoko, but we're going to have to make them when they're making the poor guy work twice. And what, 35 minutes combined? I mean, this match goes way too long. So if you're watching this, by the way, and you feel like, God, I need a break from this, but I don't really have enough time to be pausing podcasts, go to the toilet now.
Well, it's the old fable, the tortoise and the lifeless cardboard cutout. We're slow and steady, gets you -3 stars.
Yeah, no, it's the other fable of Luger, the little engine that couldn't.
I thought
the little
I could.
Engine that didn't know.
Oh, yes. Oh, no.
And these tracks are too thin, Billy.
Can I slam Yoko? I don't know.
Oh, God. Yoko's trying to leave. All right, so who's the most tastefully dressed person at ringside right now? Or in the ring?
There's so much going on. There's so many different outfits in different periods of history. I mean, perfect referee pajamas. It could be a goalkeeper for Newcastle.
I wish goalies for Newcastle looked like that.
It's like a Goodwill Halloween party.
Like somebody's half dressed as Beetlejuice.
Yeah. He's made half the effort and gone out, whatever. I'll be Danny Davis for Halloween instead.
Well, that's
that must have been the softest landing in history. It's like jumping on a hotel bed when you first get in.
Is it super jumping elbow? Yep.
That is one hell of a jump.
That was a great. I mean, on a guy like him, yeah. Luger gets the ladder. There's a swanton on Yoko.
I don't know what part of the match it is, but there's a point when Vince is actually standing up trying to rally the crowd as if he's Jeremy Borash at the old TNA Asylum during one of those matches like 2003.
Vince tries really. He really tries hard, doesn't he, with Luger?
You but can't like Brett. He's Canadian and short.
But it was a self-defeating prophecy, though. They wanted Luger to be over, but they never gave him the pin and the title. So he wasn't over. Because he never won that. No, because they
wanted him for the chase, but yet they never thought he was worthy of getting to the end. He was more of one for the chase.
Well, if they enter the SummerSlam bit where it was, you know, this is your one shot at the belt, and give him the friggin' bus, and they have just have him come up a little bit more humble than that. Then he want to look so stupid in the end when he's celebrating the count that win. Da, 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 da. Balloons, yeah, I won. I'm in the belt.
That finish at SummerSlam was hilarious.
That was the best rib shoot you ever pulled, was that finish.
All you wanted after this was Luger to beat Yoko on a Raw or Saturday Morning Slam or whatever. And you're like, see, I told you I could do it without Perfect or Fuji, and then turn heel on Brett. That was just never, like Billy Graham turning face in the 70s, they were just never going to have a heel Luger because they were convinced that he could lose 1,000 times and still be over, which is actually a formula that they perfected on Raw nowadays.
Yeah, with Braun Strowman especially.
Yes. Into the titties he goes. Sorry.
Here's the thing. I think I might mention this on the keep podcast before. I like the fact that like Lex Luger and Sting were a tag team. Juxtaposed with the fact that Lex Luger looks like Sting the singer.
What?
Kind of does, no. Actually.
No, Tom.
If you were to say there's Sting and Lex Luger, you go, oh, there's Sting, the guy in the pants. No, that's Lex Luger. Sting's the guy in the face paint. No, that's blatantly Sting.
I'll be watching you.
I don't know. You have to sell your body to the night. I don't know.
Luger, do me a favor. What's that? Don't stand so close to me, Jack.
Did you get my message in a bottle? I don't know.
I hope they get it.
Luger, we're joining the NWO Wolfpack. So that means put on the red paint.
And your fields are too tight, too burly. Bang.
I think, guys, we need to calm down because we're distracting from the nerve hold.
We're sending out our love down the well. Remember, like, we're Doug Bart Simpson out of the well.
Look, he's not even doing anything.
He's laughing.
What a horrible camera shot!
It's the Ionian nerve grip.
He was talking a really tasteless joke right then and there. Cornette is way overdressed for this match.
Yeah. So Cornette is now Yoko's mouthpiece whilst also managing and directing Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Cornette, and I do like listening to him talking about this period of history. He's still got his marbles. And he basically said that he was almost coerced into coming here, but they were saying, hey, yeah, we'll have the Heavenly Bodies come over here and do a bit, and then they'll come over here, we just need you to manage Yoko. Yeah. Like, didn't just say, come and manage Yoko, they had to, like, you know, maneuver him into
this position. Just manage Yoko soon as well, that'd be grand. Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Hey, what about Heavenly Bodies? Who? No, they're a good tag team. They're not here after the Quebecs and Stanis leave.
Actually, they still are.
The
Heavenly Bodies were still around?
Yeah. Bret Hart faced a Heavenly Body on the routes to WrestleMania.
Oh.
And they were in the dark match of the show, actually.
They beat the Bushwhackers. They stay around.
They're actually there at Survivor Series 94 on DiBiase's Million Dollar Team.
Oh, I'm talking complete rubbish. Please ignore me.
I've just spotted something that did annoy me throughout this show. I just watched a production guy go through the WrestleMania 10 door. So the 10 door opens, so a guy in a random WWE shirt can go through, and then it shuts again.
Oh, you can see that Royal Rumble 2000, which had the problem of having that.
Oh, it annoys me.
And just some guy, old guy with sweat, some J.J. Dillon looking dude would come out and, you know.
It was probably J.J. Dillon.
Yeah, it could actually mean J.J. Dillon at that point, you're right.
It was like when Homer and Marge got the motel room, which was the utility room, and then the janitor just walks in.
Oh, like, excuse me, Mankind. So you get that. Thank you. Thanks, pal.
Don't mind me.
You get an extension cable.
It just takes the illusion right out of it. Yeah. See, now if Mabel hit like that, it'd be more convincing.
And so Perfect and Luger have a backstory, which was WrestleMania 9.
Yes!
That match where Luger thought that Perfect was going to call all the spots because he's such a great in-ring guy. And then in the match, Perfect goes, what are we doing? Luger's like, oh, I have to carry it. Oh, great.
So is this the WrestleMania equivalent of Kimbo Slice versus Dada 5000?
You know what? Yeah, I think it is.
In Perfect Speck, John McCarthy.
God, this is one hell of a nerve.
Yeah, that was so good. Just now, couldn't think of anything to add to it. Thank you.
What is Yoko hoping for here?
He's catching his breath.
I know, but in kayfabe, like, what is he hoping for?
A cheeseburger. Like, just
first PCO, now cheeseburger. It's all about Ring of Honor.
Is he hoping just to send Yoko? Luger. All right, okay. From that angle, Yoko's arm, Luger's arm moving. That looks very dodgy.
No, well, Fuji approves. Of course he does.
Fuji's like, good. Dirty. Yes.
Fuji laid out this match.
Knock one out.
All go in the plans.
Fuji's got home videos more close than that. Having two hope spots in one match for Luger is asking a lot of this crowd.
That's a lot of hope.
Wow.
Yes. There's no hope with this.
What are you doing, man? What was that?
It's when you press run on the video games, you don't mean to. Bonk.
Let's get used to the controls.
No, hang on. I will get back in the ring.
It's when you play Fire Pro for a week and then you try and play 2K19. It's like, oh, God, it's not that button, is it? Oh, jeez. Oh, that was funny. Oh, Luger, you bellend.
Bruce arguing with the Quebecers. No, we have to take time away from your match and the double teams and the cool moves. We have to make balance out. All right, fair enough. And then watching this backstage. What?
I can't.
What?
Spot number
three. Okay, you're on
three.
The shoulder now.
The you're third like... nerve hole.
Finish your drinks. We got three nerve holes. Head down your pint. Even Luger looks bored.
Luger's like, really?
You're like, yep, I called the spot.
Oh, God, this is amazing. The third.
Oh, no,
and
Jack
again, he looks Jack like he's having a Tommy tank.
Well, someone's going to enjoy the match.
Somebody is enjoying themselves. I'm glad someone's enjoying themselves. Certainly not.
I've heard a masturbatory book.
Luger's
this not, is ridiculous.
Luger gets his red, white, and blue cock out of playing with Vincent Mann. Yes, yes, yes. Born in the USA.
Corny, I should have brought a Gallagher tarp to ringside.
Say hello. Oh, God. Four! Right down your drinks again. Four hope spots for Luger.
It's like when Brock hit six F5s on Roman, but not quite.
God, no wonder Luger's got such a defined forearm.
Four Luger hope spots.
Perfect's got his pajamas on because he's going to play the audience. He's going to sleep.
He knew this would be a sleeper. I think that was the ultimate rib, that Perfect knew this would be so boring he wore his pyjamas to referee.
Fuji wore his verb.
Oh.
Is he even touching him? The power of the flag, Yoko! The power of the flag!
Fuji's not even watching! Fuji's just looking the other way.
The flag that has Made in China written on the bottom. And like this match, it's falling apart at the seams. Go on, Perfect. It's called. Oh, God damn it.
Is it that they both forgot what the crack was? Or was this the crack that they planned?
It was smoking crack.
So this is a house show, right? And there's WrestleMania. Oh, crap.
Ah, same meat, different gravy.
The show's just out playing. I need a hero.
He's getting up.
Oh, I like Luger's, like, it's almost like he's been given the animation for Tatanka.
Yeah.
He does his
you can give him different taunts.
He's got the Tatanka fire up. Oh, bang.
Oh, there's Big Bump and Yoko. He's being missed.
There's a move.
I don't know what happened to Yoko in this night, but... Oh.
This is catch-as-catch-can't.
Hey. Bowling shoe ugly.
Ready for number five? Is it going to be nerve hold number five?
No, Yoko,
nerve
come
Nerve hold
on.
Number five coming
no, kill
up.
Him then.
Yoko, oh no!
Oh my God, Luger! Fighting back!
Yeah.
What? Zuna's down. Oh, he's an exposed buckle.
Oh, what a great shot.
All I need now is snakes and worms to appear on the canvas.
Apparently Vince McMahon hates that shot. That's why it's not used that very often.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think it makes it look a bit small.
I like the Wile E. Coyote cam. I think Lola dubbed it 1 year when they're doing the
TLC. When they did the ladder
match.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, it was ladder match. TLC Zero, as I call it. Oh, that's it. Luger with the clotheslines.
Oosh. Whoa! Oh, my God!
The network started flipping out there. I need a chiropractor.
A leg slam.
Oh, he's caught an X.
He's tapping the vein.
he's going to have another whack later.
That's right. US Steel, or whatever. Cornette. Wow.
Those pants. Took the best bump of the match.
Shark. Bump of the match from Cornette.
God, everyone's got
the same.
I wouldn't even dare touch Fuji if he came
slowest
in the ring at this point.
Bump ever. Perfect! What are you doing? Perfect!
Oh, no.
You sly son of a gun.
Oh.
No, I want the match to go on longer, says Perfect. Oh, no.
Oh, it's a prop bet on his part. You'll be all right. Ronda.
Oh!
Ring the bell.
Good job, Ronda.
Thanks, Ronda.
Ronda screwed Luger.
Ronda got the Kip Fry Woman of the Match bonus for that match.
Best Ronda performance at any WrestleMania ever.
Perfect. Oh.
Right. See you next year. Ah, look at ECW. They've done more, guys. Celebrate the crowd there.
Yeah, my friend Lenny.
Yeah.
I do feel like just going, ha ha.
It's like David Starr losing to Walter for the millionth time. Look at Colin Spott.
I'll be a loser. I'll be a loser. This is Yoko's favourite part of the match. He's having a good lie down.
I've seen that dueling promo bit with Brett and Luger. I'm not sure if it's on a episode of Raw Superstars.
Yeah, if it was after the on the coin flip episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Brett calls Luger horse face. And Luger's going, horse face! horse face!
It's perfect justification.
My insurance policy today is that I can't count pinfalls.
I love Perfect's Red Sonja haircut.
It's like Bison Smith, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
He just did.
No, don't talk over Luger.
My Kyoto. Dum, 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 dum.
Have a thousand Hebners turned up, or is it just two key places?
Brett, Bruce,
the Dark Order about them now. Tony Schimmel's in there. I think this is serious.
God. All the nobodies are there at the same time.
Why are the photographers behind the guardrail? Hang on.
It's Patton Oswalt, isn't it? I know, and that's somebody's very cross mother.
Hi, Tony.
Who's Tony?
Shivani, isn't that Lois?
Ah, it's his wife.
Yeah.
It's Sandra Shivani.
I left you for WrestleMania 10.
It's Belinda Shivani.
Hang on. Tony, take me back. I made a mistake.
Unless we were the slapdick show.
Oh.
I liked Perfect's justification there.
Yeah,
I liked that.
Right. Sorry, I'm going to talk over you.
No, it's fine. I was just saying, I liked it because he was right. Like, there were shenanigans. Of course he had to throw him out.
Yeah, so... Can you believe it? Luger choked again.
I know. It's shocking.
Yeah. But all right, before going to that match, WrestleMania 7, the blindfold match. Who is picking these highlights?
It's like, yeah, where's Crush and Smash versus Ten Everyone could tell?
WrestleMania 7, the day that Hogan... We had to move it because there were bomb threats. Hogan Slaughter.
Here's when Savage had to retire. Ignore that.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's a nice tie on Harvey. Here's the feud of the year. Harvey versus Howard. He doesn't use Vince to no end.
Yeah, this is booked for one man and one man only. That man might not even be in the company by the end of the year if the federal government have anything to say about it. But anyway, so Luger loses again. But at the very least, you can say, well... Perfect versus Luger is what we're going to get. So it kind of makes it. Except we didn't get Perfect versus Luger, did we?
No, we didn't, because Perfect left about a month later. And Savage even shot on him after he left, just told me how Crush replaced Perfect on scheduled house show matches against him. And said, well, at least Crush was man enough to do it and Perfect wasn't.
That's right, I do remember that. So Luger loses on two accounts there. And everybody recovered.
Incidentally, I'd like to point out that I'm in this weird paradox where I've spoken... to I've done two podcasts this week, one with yourself, Matthew, and one with yourself, Justin, and with which are completely different sides of the wrestling timeline. Both feature Howard Finkel having his tuxedo ripped.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Very quickly, Earthquake versus Adam Bomb.
He's just been shortened to Quake now.
Yeah,
it's just new... Vince doesn't like first names. Remember.
That was good.
So he's just Quake. Yeah.
So, Adam Bomb, new up and comer, Earthquake, not tanned.
Mudslide.
Yeah, mudslide. Ride in the tsunami. Ride in the. Anyway.
Adam Bomb has been slowly beating people on Monday Night Raw for weeks. That there we go, don't matter.
And guess what happened after this?
Quick
Earthquake
left.
Pulled the perfect. And immediately, not immediately, but left shortly afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
He beat Yoko in the sumo contest. And then I think he...
And then got mags. He had to lose them on a house show and then quit.
Yeah. Left to go to WCW with Hogan.
Where he became Mudslide.
No, Avalanche.
If only he was Mudslide.
That was Rikishi's gimmick.
Can you turn my tiger tattoo into a Mudslide? Well, that was a thing that happened.
All that, and he got paid. See, that should be.
Well, thank goodness we had those four rest holds in the title match. You know, I mean, I'm fine to lose a few minutes off that match for four rest holds.
Yeah, and Adam Bomb would get.
We were deprived of the Quake Con Rana finish. I said we were deprived of the Quake Con Rana finish because you had to rush things.
That'd have been incredible if that had happened. Matthew, you have some stats on this.
That's what I was about to say. Adam Bomb got his revenge on the house shows with rematches on Earthquake, with matches that would go longer than 30 seconds. Can you believe it?
Oh, my God.
But Adam Bomb, I like the look of him and how cool he looked, and I think he wrestled all right. But the thing I remember him from was when he thought he was going to win the IC title and all this. He was going to have this big push. Then Razor Ramon comes up. What was it? It's like, Adam Bomb, your finisher is someone else has taken the power bomb now. I think maybe Diesel.
Yeah.
And Bomb, Adam just looked like stood there like, oh, right, realizing that you're not getting the push. So Razor Ramon went up to him because Adam Bomb just had a tattoo with Adam Bomb on his arm. And Ramon was like, hey, should have had ED at the end of that.
No!
Because there's nothing like kicking a man when he's down. I love that story.
That's mean. Todd, shut your mouth, mate. There you go. Petting got his mouth open. It was annoying me.
Is that Tatsuo Yoko's hand or is that just grime?
Oh, I think it might be grime. Sweaty boy.
Do you think Cornette would out-eat Yoko every time? That's just sure.
You go to Wendy's.
I think Fuji would out-eat them all.
Yoko takes Cornette to one side. Like, look, I think you've got a problem, mate.
Do you ever hear the story? And this is from OSW Review. Very glad they've been remonetized again. The story where Yoko and Vader were sent to Fat Camp to lose weight, but they kept sneaking out to eat chicken.
Who's going to stop Vader and Yoko if they try to leave?
Exactly. And how are they going to sneak out?
Do you think they would like distract the ref like in tag matches? Come on, ref. Hey, look over here. I like the story about, it's not wrestling related, Marlon Brando's wife got annoyed of him being, you know, the size of a small foreign country and put him on a strict diet. And he was sticking to it, but he wasn't losing any weight until he found out, she found out that every time he was going outside for a smoke, Jack Nicholson, who lived in the area, was throwing cheeseburgers over the fence.
Oh my God, that's amazing! That is amazing! I love that!
So my dad went to see Apocalypse Now when it came out in the cinemas. He said that Marlon Brando hadn't been seen in years. And so when he was there at the cinema, maybe in Blythe or wherever he was watching it, and he obviously comes on like an hour and a half in the film, and people were like, oh, he does a little speech, and there's just a silence after he said something. Someone's like, Jesus Christ, how fat has he got?
I had the same reaction as Brando after that Yoko Luger match.
Oh, once more into the crappy time tunnel we go. What the other bad moments make this WrestleMania look better?
The night that Papa Shango missed his cue to run out in the main event.
The night that Owen Hart won while covered in shawl.
The night when the Undertaker faced a battered Jake Roberts.
Who threatened to quit before the match and got his release.
And jogged to the ring.
And then Bill Watts tore up his contract. And wrestlers just assumed that was how business was done in the 90s.
Oh.
Here we go. The match has changed everything.
Oh, speaking of great storylines during the crap period, the Intercontinental title. So, Shawn Michaels was the IC champion. Got suspended in kayfabe for missing some dates. I think they even said that on TV, right?
Yes.
In real life, Shawn was suspended for, do we have said steroids?
And yeah, failing a drug test.
Tested his innocence over these years. And Kevin Nash has even said in interviews, I think the one drug Shawn Michaels was on during that time was not steroids.
However, he was a little chunky here.
Right? Oh, yeah, that was a chubby Shawn.
Yes.
He was left. They then had the title decided. It was a battle royal on Raw. The last two competitors then wrestling in the match the next week. It was down to Rick Martel and Razor Ramon. Ramon won. Michaels came back after suspension. After he left, I forget what it was at that point, really, because Michaels protested his innocence but left anyway, so I'm not entirely sure. But one thing was, Michaels basically did the real life gimmick of going, "You never beat me for the title. You know, I'm still the champion in my eyes." And Ramon's like, "Well, I'm the champion." It was pretty much how UFC works nowadays with the, what they call it, the thingy champion?
Interim champion.
24/7.
24/7 champion. Yeah, that's
the UFC 24/7 championship.
The ultimate
where you can get tapped out in a Wendy's.
Yeah, Shawn should have walked out wearing Khabib's hat.
Basically, if you want to, if more in depth with this, just listen to the podcast. Because we go week by week, and we've kind of chronicled the rise of Ramon as the IC champ and the return of Michaels as like, I'm still the champ. And all the awkwardness that went on in between. It was good times.
But right. It is a great storyline.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Simple, effective, and we get a match you may or may not have heard of.
I'm going to use this time, whilst it's a good match, to pop to the loo and plug in my phone.
Yeah,
so, talk amongst yourselves, gentlemen.
Okay.
Would you like a tea? Bring him back. Cup of tea? Justin, do you want a cup of tea?
Yeah, bring me a soda, please.
I'll bring you a soda.
Thank you, sir.
I'll post it to America.
Oh, God.
Yes, email, see,
what
email
the
to me.
Is great, but it's even funny watching Tom, bless him, having to walk past the maze of wires we have here. Jesus Christ, Tom, are you all right?
I'm fine, mate, I'm fine.
Tom, fall over.
Tom is still shooting star press.
Is it still on? It's still recording, that's fine.
It did a Le Tom de Quebec. God, he's all right.
Mad skills.
Justin, you okay?
Yes, I'm more than
fine.
Felt
that one, your very soul.
I heard it.
It's good seven, cast. But
seven
that
years of bad.
Filmed.
7 years of bad luck for Razor followed.
I know, right? Oh, what does that mean? Nowadays, that's equivalent to someone tweeting out, "I feel good today." Like Ryan Satin going, "Oh, he's jobbing."
So, yeah, everyone just assumes. Like, read between the lines now. It's just, it is what it is.
I did cardio today. You know why he's practicing cardio? Because he's running to AEW.
It's the modern day version of Tune in the Nitro to find out what happens next, or call the hotline, or. Is this a secret alliance? Find out!
When I dress as this, like, I was just tweeting. Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah. Ramon, Michaels, the ladder match. And this is the equivalent to watching a film like Halloween or Citizen Kane, where at this point it's been homaged and ripped off and pretty much every other ladder match that's ever come after it, that I think a lot of its the impact is gone. But it's cool to see, oh, that's where that spot came from.
Oh, yeah.
It's time someone's done that. That's where that's been ripped off from. It is cool, but really, if you watch this with no context, you're like, I don't see the appeal. I see. I've seen better matches at my local indie.
I get that. How was your comparisons to this in like Pulp Fiction, in terms of something that was like, you know, homogenized and ripped off so many times by amateurs since then? That, you know, who put too much excess into it to the point where it's like, well, this feels so tame by comparison.
Right.
And but at the same time, you know, it's just you watch the mastery of how Shawn sold everything in this match. And he's appreciated just how great he truly was, and still was up until the day he retired for the second time.
Absolutely. I never understood Flair's dismissal of Ramon in this match. Saying Shawn Michaels had a one-man show. But then looking at when Flair wrestled Ramon, he had him in late 92 when Ramon wasn't there. The character was there, but he wasn't there in terms of in-ring stuff. And he probably had a few matches when he was at his worst in WCW in the late 90s, so...
Yeah, I think Flair was a little off base with that. Razor was one of the better big men.
Yeah. And plus, you know, he was probably about WWE at that point, and Flair knew which ass to kiss.
Well, of course, and... Yeah. Hall threw some of the best punches ever, too.
Oh, he did, yeah.
Like him, Lawler, Dustin Rhodes.
I've got a fan cam of the one of the practice matches
Ramon
and Shawn Michaels had before this.
Really?
And it's good. It's really one of the most interesting things about looking at these little fan cams that have been tape traded over the years is being able to listen to, you know, obnoxious fans going, "Bad, this sucks, boo, yay, whatever, go Red Sox." And this match, well, the guy's commentating is going, "Oh, here we go, look at this stupid ladder. Go on, go on, go on, Mo. Go on, Curly. Whoop, whoop, whoop." And all this, and it's just like, oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a silly bit of silliness, this. And then, yeah, obviously that match happens, and it was like, oh, this is the best match. And also, coincidentally, I believe reading the Blog of Doom reports, no, you do, the day before this match...
You all right there, Chevy Chase?
I just shot myself on my head. As I said, the day before this match, was it Tracy Smothers and Chris Candido?
Yeah.
I believe. And,
Smoky Mountain.
Sorry, say again?
I say Smoky Mountain, right?
Smoky Mountain, that's right. I wasn't sure if it was them or the NWA, because I know Candido had another ladder match around the same time. Yeah, that everyone was raving about and said, wow, one of the matches of the year. It took 24 hours for it to be forgotten about by everybody.
I'm sure that's probably, you know, stuck in Cornette's crawl a little bit. Like, for one day they got to enjoy it, and then goddamn, this match comes along.
Yeah. Diesel being sent to the back, and he would return at WrestleMania 11. Yeah. We have that to look forward to, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. A year from now. I think it was the one time Nash wore those pants with the faux chaps and the silver leggings, I guess. It's a great look.
That's right, and now Diesel's out, so Shawn Michaels has to wrestle by himself. And there, the not a Flair flip.
More of a custom show.
Oh, what? Some force, then, that clothesline. Sorry, now I'm commentating the match because I'm getting into it because it is a good one.
Is Tom dead?
Tom is just having a... Tom, bless him, is running ragged today. He's got lots of things to fit in a short space of time, so whereas me and you are treating this like it's a lovely activity on a Friday afternoon, he has a lot of other things to be going. He's going on holiday soon, and you know how it is when you...
Of course, you know, you want to tie about a loose ends.
Exactly, you want to get all these things sorted out, and it's like, oh, what do you think of Michaels versus Ramon? He's like, I don't care.
I can't imagine Tom snarling, though.
Yeah. WrestleMania X coming out the same year as Mega Man X.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Yeah. I don't know why I said that. I saw the big X in the background. I thought I'd say something stupid and take away from this. And the first of many times of Ramon deciding to do the Razor's Edge at the worst possible place in the race.
Exactly. It's like the flying nothing. Like, you know it's going to lead to
the top rope.
Like, you know how it's going to end. And I
like
turn...
Like Braun Strowman getting the Universal title shot.
Yeah, we know where that's going. I turned X 4 months before this. Every WrestleMania corresponds to my age.
Oh,
so I have that going for me. Yes.
Oh, that's handy. Because if you forget how old you are, I just want to put WrestleMania on.
Well, not anymore, because Vince changed his name. It's like, apparently I'm Statue of Liberty years old. The giant woman will devour us all. Ah. I love the shot right here.
Oh, that's a nice bit of camera work.
Something you would never see on TNA is
brilliant
camera setup and work.
I think there's an opportunity to have Ramon wipe his trunks in the back of Michael's head and he start bleeding. And that is given the first ever basement drop kick in the guy holding the ladder spot, I believe. And if you that spot, get ready to see it forever. Until the sun turns cold, you'll see that spot in a ladder match.
But at least in this match, you have psychology and building from spot to spot logically. Unlike future ladder matches.
Go on, will Tom knock over something again?
No, he's done all right.
He's back.
No, Mike stands for harmed in the making of this move.
It's all right. I love that we do these long-form podcasts and it's Tom dropping the clangers. He's the one who's got. He's got 100 times more professionalism than both me and you combined. Oh. So I was like, so whatever happens, like, oh, look at Tom being bad. Not like me and you, Justin.
How unprofessional he is.
I am not unboxable.
Yeah. We're two kids wearing a big jacket trying to get into a cinema that Tom runs.
That's been my life, really. A big kid.
Tom's Rickles in Dirty Work. And we're Norman Hardy.
Do you know what I love, right? I love the fact that...
Is it Dirty Work?
No, I love the fact that I did this podcast with you guys and we're mentioning Rickles in Dirty Work. And on the YouTube channel, I'm talking about Ninja Sex Party and Jeffree Star. Like, I'm like very contemporary on the YouTube channel, but I'm nice and old school on the podcast.
That had to hurt. Just throwing a ladder to the dude's spinal column.
Well, it's good that they can use the ladder as a weapon now. Unlike when SummerSlam 95 came along and suddenly they got the edict. No, you can't use ladder as a weapon.
We're being scrutinized.
Did that happen?
Yes.
Apparently, according to them, the day before or the day of the show, I think it was the day before the show, Triple H, Michaels and Ramona all get together to figure out spots they could do without getting...
Yeah, because...
Yeah.
They couldn't use the ladder as a weapon because of some new violence code that was enacted. So yeah. Hunter was smart to point out, you know, you could throw each other into the ladder as if it were like a turnbuckle or something. Like, okay, we'll go from there. Moon over Miami.
Yep. And there we go.
The bare ass elbow.
Who just loves getting his bum out. He's like Ric Flair.
It's the strike from, you know, he's just a chubby boy. Chubby boy. He's not quite good yet. But he's getting there.
those catchy lyrics that we all know and love.
I just did Puppet Jack's voice, the sexy woman there. Oh, God. My subconscious is coming to the surface. I do apologize.
Sean is the Flair, what Eddie Gilbert is the Jerry Lawler.
Ooh.
You know, I'm Doug Gilbert, and Jerry Lawler, you, under a court of law, did nothing wrong.
I remember saying that.
I watched that clip recently. Doug Gilbert just... And they immediately just cut him off, but he just shouted at the screen, like, you idiot, what are you doing?
I think about Dave Brown kept his composure the entire time. Here's the famous visual. In 80 million videos after this.
Yeah. I mean, this was what inspired a load of kids to go in their dad's garage. Yes. Dad, go borrow the ladder. Why? He's going to put up a poster. Where? On the roof.
On the top of these flaming tables.
If you two ever wrestled as kids, what was the most interesting prop you ever used in order to imitate something you saw on TV?
Okay, I've got an answer for this.
Okay.
The lid of a tin of quality street sweets. Quality street chocolates.
That made a good noise.
Because it made a really good, like, cause it was like that sort of thin
clang
tin. It was made a beautiful noise.
What did your mum put her sewing stuff in after that?
It was my nan that used them.
Always mine disappointment. Mine was the particularly thorny bush next to our house.
What was her name?
Use that for the wild Samoan's hair.
God, he's killing me.
He's killing me.
Oh. Oh, Jesus.
I've been up now for 14 hours and I'm still dropping bangers like that. I'm over the moon.
Oh, you're clanging and banging.
Clanging and banging, baby.
Oh. All right. Mine was a party tray pizza box. There were two stools. That was our table.
Amazing. Wait, absolutely amazing.
What? A party. What do you mean?
Party tray pizza box.
A pizza, but a cardboard one.
Yes.
So you, I presume you would open the pizza box out and turn it round.
Yeah.
Yes. So that would be like the crease in the table when you went through.
Oh, that's great. Oh,
right. Okay. I think I'm following
that. That's great.
That's crap.
That's
I love it.
Great. That's crap. I love it.
Two pizza boxes. Did you do the Dominic DiNucci go? The table. It may look like a two pizza box, but it's not.
It was good enough. I was 12.
Mick Foley's book.
Don't care.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. For people at home, we don't know who Dominic DiNucci
is. Yeah, I think for those who aren't aware of the story, it's a nice story to tell. Yes.
The cage may look like a chicken wire, but it's not. I assume that's how he talked. I'm very sorry. All the old Italians listening to this.
How'd you learn to fall through two pizza boxes?
It no affect me. My Italian blood, me, can no sell pizza boxes. Yeah. Oh, Christ.
Oh,
what a great move.
Sean's wrestling like a man. Who knows he's not wrestling for 4 months after this?
Yeah. He's wrestling like a man who knows he's probably going to steal the night here.
Imagine look on Ramon's face. He's like, wow, what a great ladder match. Yeah, thanks. We're going to do several of these on house shows now. Like, he had that same look the guy from Scrubs has, and he's in Platoon, and he goes, oh, you get the next one after this. You're going back to Vietnam.
Did they take this on the road, did they, the ladder match?
Oh, there's loads, and you go on History of WF. What's History of WWE? Yeah, historyofwwe.com, and like Control F ladder. He had loads of Jarrett, including that weird one where Jarrett won the title because allegedly Ramon was on his ass, and Jarrett was like, well, I'm up here.
That's it, because people like without knowing the ins and the outs of the industry would have watched this and gone, well, Ramon's the king of the ladder match, so he can have a ladder match with everybody. Little did we know, actually.
I'm sorry, pal, but that was right. Splendid.
So it was the old gag, wasn't it, that it was a match between Sean and a ladder on Razor Ramon was there too.
Flair said that. That's complete rubbish, because you wanted a job. He was Shawn Michaels' puppet jack. There you say about Razor.
Yeah, was that what Flair said?
Yeah.
You are Shawn Michaels' puppet jack, Jack.
Yeah, that was also the
Hell Mega Tour.
Same book recalled Foley the glorified stuntman.
Well, I mean,
he was more than that,
that's
though.
Very nice to Foley, and then you go back and see what Foley was doing in WCW. You go, oh Jesus,
yeah.
Okay, but he was more than that. He had a basis for psychology, and he knew how to cut a promo, and he knew how to get guys over.
He didn't have much of a chance to show that in WCW, though, in fairness. Yeah. Well, the promo bit, sure. But he took worse bumps in WCW maybe than he did in ECW.
Probably.
Like the, what's it called?
Nasty Plunge.
I think I forgot the location. Yes. Oh, it looks like Razor's going to win. Oh, splendid.
Nice coincidence.
See, now, the conspiracy theorist in me...
Oh,
Thermite Pete Ventura, and would say that they put on Yoko versus Luger to stink as much as possible, knowing that this is gonna it's a great match.
So
anyway.
You think Yokozuna went? Do you know what, lads? I'm just gonna kick back on this because I want you to have the spotlight rather than Yoko pulling out that match of the year we all know he's got in him.
Yoko was a sleeper agent for the click.
Oh my.
He destroyed the BSK from inside.
Was Yoko versus Luger supposed to be the ladder match, and Shawn and Razor just usurped it?
Because Luger didn't want to climb a ladder. Yoko was fine with it, though.
I have my suspicions, Monsoon.
My government tells me this, but my riffraff from Rocky Horror.
Sorry. I don't know about that. I love how simple this move is. I'm just going to grab you.
Oh, my God. Look at that.
There goes your ladder, mate. This is why they'll have, now 400 ladders at ringside. So they've just got backup ladders in case it just buckles.
And this is, yet again, another expression, another line on the prisoner's wall of the reasons why Brett would have some anxiety towards Shawn Michaels. Because it was the ladder match... was a Canadian gimmick.
Yes.
So Brett had some before in Stampede. And Shawn and Brett had the first one in WWF. Seen on the Smack'em, Whack'em, Wank'em, whatever.
Smack'em, Whack'em, Wank'em.
Sorry.
There's Luger in that one.
Sorry, yes,
he's on the cover.
My possible stepdad got to me and said, that's what I'm doing with your mum later.
I'm going to smack her.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Oh, God, what am I saying?
If the video was called Wank 'em Plow 'em, then yeah,
Wank 'em Plow 'em.
I'd be like, yeah, that sounds perfectly logical.
Son, I got you this. Oh, great! It's a Christmas. No, I didn't think. I saw the title and didn't realize it was a wrestling shit. You can have it.
Wank 'em Shank 'em. It's about prison.
Wank 'em Shank 'em.
Why'd you get a tape called Wank 'em Shank 'em? Like, Bret Hart.
Come for the wank, stay for the shanks.
Channel 5 presents. Oh, there we go.
Oh, the as yet unidentified super kick.
The mediocre kick.
Not quite a party yet. The party hasn't started.
This is before Wank'em Yank'em showed up to become the big red monster.
This is before Wank'em Plow'em turned up on VHS.
Well, that's what we did to Katie Vick.
See, your mama jokes didn't really work in Bish because everyone's mum was a slag.
You just stayed in the obvious then.
Oh!
I did your mum. I was like, yeah. You can get an Argos, mate.
Join the queue.
Yeah.
Yeah, so did I. I was there first.
She's damaged goods. Woo! Anyway,
I shagged your mum. Yeah, all right, Dad. Come on, we're going home.
Vince called the pile driver pile drive.
That'll just insult me, mum.
I think it's mum's ambition in general. Big fan of Bishop Auckland. Big fan of Monaco's. Good nightclub.
Cheap plug there.
And their Bishop Auckland's favourite son, Danny O'Doherty.
Oh, of course.
Oh, O'Doherty's in town! Body lad!
No, he never goes back to Bish.
He's never been to Bish.
Why would you?
I think I would just doing a crappy match.
Anyway, moving on from Bish and my mum. Shawn Michaels. The ladder. And what would you call this?
This is Men on a Mission's finisher.
Yes.
But with a ladder and Sean.
James Hetfield at the table.
Sean was watching
the
tag match earlier. He went, aha.
Sexy boy on a mission.
I am the ladder.
Yeah, another tape you shouldn't buy.
So he's Inigo Montoya. I'm out of Montoya. You gave me a bad gimmick. Prepare to die.
You gave me WrestleMania 2000 for Christmas. The greatest matches of all time, and it's
again, this is free. You don't need it. You don't have to listen. It's free.
Nothing is free.
The best things in life are free.
Like free video games.
Incidentally, talking video games, they actually had a ladder match programmed into WWF Warzone.
Yeah.
But they ended up dropping it
for the headbangers.
Because the mechanics weren't right. Because they had the only way they could do it is having the ladder like stationary in the center of the ring. And you have to wrestle round it. So they end up just going, do you know what? This is crap. Let's just drop it. Just rather than do it badly, let's just not do it.
Yes, let's have the fluid mechanics of guys walking around like they have bowling balls shoved up their asses. And...
exactly.
And like, how I do a punch. You hit left three times and then you hit the X button and then...
Oh, it was so complicated. It was far too convoluted, the bloody Acclaim games. Meanwhile, Ramon, up the ladder. There we go! Did he mean to fall?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
sure.
Ramon's too good to fall off a ladder.
I loved it when Jeff fell off the ladder after he grabbed that bag.
And they like, put that in every video game after that.
Yeah, that was it. That was the that was the default for No Mercy. Mm.
No Mercy was overrated.
Oh, shut up.
What? Bore off, mate.
Cut his mic, Tom.
Right, podcast cancelled. Justin Henry cancelled.
N64 is a pile of crap.
Hashtag Justin Henry cancelled party.
Hashtag Justin couldn't figure out the control of the N64.
That's right.
You're one of them.
Why is there three handholds? I haven't got three hands.
What's happening with Pulp Fiction? It's all out of order. He was dead a minute ago
stop
and now he's back.
Stop playing this Barrage to Media. I can't see you. No. It was an odd job in GoldenEye, wasn't it? He was too short. He was too
but
short.
You had to kill Barrage to Media like three times. Yeah. The
stop being Barrage to Media.
I kid about Golden Gun Mode. Yeah. I just knew it would annoy you, that's all.
Well, good.
You are, it's fine.
You can make
then.
Fun of me, ma'am, all you like, but how dare you insult the mercy?
Exactly. It's like, hey, Cactus, your wife's a whore. Hey, Cactus, your kids are bastards. Yeah. Hey, Cactus, WWE sucks. Then he punches you.
Hey, yeah, that was great.
I liked how they did, I liked how they redid that for,
Yeah, with Funk.
Yeah, they did it with Funk twice, didn't they? They did it in ECW when Jack was in WCW. Oh, wait, here we go. It's the 10-man tag. It's 10-man tag. Oh, I'm excited for this.
It's the Usos' dad and Bray and Bo's dad on the same team.
Oh, brilliant. This is going to be great. This is going to be so
Office
great
here. Not guilty. Not guilty.
What?
Well, they're going to tell you who the captain was.
What? I was looking for Men on a Mission said that one's in the bag!
You have to cut it out because the guy who looks less like Bill Clinton, the more they show him.
Oh my god, so hang on. You dropped a 10-man tag for four rest holds in the Yoko match and this!
And Donnie Wahlberg.
And Donnie Wahlberg!
Yes.
Men on a Mission said, this one's in the bag. Clearly not. Clearly you left it in the self-service checkout bit. You didn't put it in the bag.
They weighed it with center blocks and threw it in the river.
Oh, furious. I bought tickets to see that 10-man tag.
Said nobody ever.
I did.
They still got the money for it, though. On the Hardcore Holly shoot interview, they still got the WrestleMania residue.
Yeah.
Residue, is that the right word? Money.
Yes.
What happened at WrestleMania 9 that we're going to remember?
Yes.
Dare to bring up. Go on.
For what it's worth, according to Bob Holly, Savage screamed at Razor and Shawn afterwards. For going too long and causing all the 10-man guys their match.
Shocking.
Oh, that was the thing. Yeah. So they're actually going to show the end of this.
That's cool, actually.
Is Hogan going to be there, though?
No, they'll just show...
That's creative editing.
Now let's see if they edited out Tom Petty for this upcoming video. I bet you they did.
Yeah. Oh, OB's back.
Ob.
ODB? Really?
It's Bo Dallas.
No way.
Yep. This is Tom Petty, just how I remember it.
What was her song originally?
Making some
Was it You Start the Fire? No.
No, it was Making Some Noise.
Oh, I don't like it when they do this. It just doesn't work.
That doesn't. The actual footage of Bret and Owen as kids. Stu's been the same age forever. He's like Frau Form Bissing.
I'm proud of my kids fighting.
Hello, my friend. We meet home here.
Yeah, give him a kidney punch. Here's
like forever. Within my heart, a memory. Perfect love that you gave to me. Lord, I remember when you always be. I'm free.
Brooklyn Brawler.
I'm careless. I believe. I've forgotten the moves and folks. Oh, I'm others with life.
Bam.
This brings tears to my eyes.
Bunk.
My sacrifice.
My leg.
I just kicked my leg from under my leg. I just kicked my leg from under my leg.
I will never sing Creed under any circumstances.
Boo.
Yeah.
They're the N64 of bands.
Arrows.
I'm ignoring Justin.
That's amazing. What a moment.
Nah, he's more of a higher guy.
To a place where the blind man sees.
Yeah, good job. Not Can Owen.
Can you take me higher?
Yeah, Brucey bonus.
To a place with golden Chris streams.
Bomb. I thought England had culture. What are you guys doing?
We're just singing Creed.
I know.
It's a wrestling music video. You've got to sing Creed.
You don't have to. You can sing something else.
Executive producer. Oh, and the music stops.
Oh,
there we go. So now we get a profile on Yoko.
So what was the Luger
Hello,
video?
Hello, my friend.
I said, yeah, what would the song be for Yoko that you could sing along to?
You start a fire. I'll be your hero. You show Hogan getting dropped.
Hulk well, actually, killer. On, better him than me.
Actually, based on the early match, it would have been Take My Breath Away.
Every nerve holds you.
every nerve holds you.
Every nerve you take. Every ring you break.
Every pastor bait.
Every orgasm you fake, I'll be watching you.
Oh, God, this is funny.
Speaking of orgasm, here comes Bert.
Oh, what a time. What a time to be
Every
alive.
Every match you win.
Here comes Bert.
Digging through the pizzeria's bin.
Hey, it's Jenny Garth, who didn't want to be
Pat
here.
Pat Patterson!
Jenny Garth, is that from 90210?
Yes.
90-20-10.
90-20-10?
Yes, correct.
That's wrong, actually.
Which is also a settlement fee Lola had to pay to... Sorry. Alcoholic lawyer just intercepted that. Like William J. Perry.
According to the Observer, I was going to say, Jenny Garth reportedly wouldn't do the vignette plan. It seemed when she came out before the final match that she wouldn't be anywhere but where she was.
Oh, really? Was she not having a nice time?
She's not really. Well, she's upset because Luger got jobbed.
You told me Luger would win.
Please welcome Richard from Friends.
Well, Lex is
Burt Reynolds, rich from Friends. This man did not do three Smokey and the Bandit films, be known as that. Oh, the focus
middle finger! Middle finger, did you see that?
He thought the mugger might be watching.
He just gave the middle finger.
The mugger said he was a wrestling fan.
Isn't that the truth? They will watch the Yoko Luger match over.
He wears his Terry Ferguson cowboy hat.
So apparently I had a friend who was at this show. And he said that, like, all the instructions are there. Wow, you could see him on the network.
Wow.
He just took it off him. Yeah, he's got all the notes there. And even the notes say who's winning.
Do they?
According to my friend who saw this. And, like, Bert was just, like, waving him around. So if you were behind that, if you were the opposite end of the hard cam, also known as the easy cam. See, that guy the razor, that guy the razor shirt scene, he's applauding.
Mm-hmm. It's the guy from They Live.
Bless you. And here's Roddy Piper during that mid-90s runway. Suddenly decided to look young and hot. And convincing only one young lad that followed him around that was never addressed by anybody, and we won't go into it on this podcast because I'm not brave enough to go into it. Roddy Piper legend, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, what a nice jacket. Matches his skin.
Come, what do you ever do to you, Matthew?
I'm just tired, I'm sorry. Yeah, why am I crying on Roddy Piper of all people?
He's brilliant. Luke Pipes. Hot Rod. Hang on. If he's a surprise, why have they got a Hot Rod sign?
No, he's not as. No, he was up, they said they'll have guest referees.
Yeah, but they didn't tell you who.
Well, they had several signs planned.
Was he a surprise?
Yes. They had us. What happened was that guy had several signs. Prepare for all possibilities. He had one that says, I'm mad for Mantar. He had one. He had one said, "Welcome home, Dr. Zahorian." He had one that.
Knock him dead, Dr. Zahorian.
Screw you, Lou.
All is forgiven. Save us, Hogan 222.
He had one that said, "Way to work twice, Randy."
One just said, "I can't believe IRS is the referee, lads." Very specific sign.
How did the shirt fit, Booger?
one weirdly just says, "John, can you Photoshop Duke Drozzi as the referee?"
Yes, John.
One of the signs says that. It's very weird.
And in the bin, can you have Luger versus Yoko?
Actually, yeah, John, can you do that? Thanks, mate. Haven't given John any work in this podcast.
Thanks for Photoshop, John.
Yoko's too tired to put his
work
back on.
Alexa. Imagine Yoko working twice. Poor Fuji having to work twice. Those poor. He has to help his manager get up the ring steps. Did you see that?
I did. I saw that. He's pagged as well, bless him.
God, he's knick-knack to Yoko's Christopher
Lee. Paddywhack.
Give Corny a bone.
When your manager needs a manager, you know. Don't get bronchitis. Why are they out again? They're supposed to give both competitors. Whatever. Just dump some outside. What is the point of that?
Oh, it's funny. It amuses me. See, Yoko could have played Dirk Diggler and Boogie Nights with Bert.
They even have the politeness to eat them.
See, Fuji could play Dirk Diggler and Boogie Nights. May I see it?
And so.
Brett's still selling the knee.
Yoko versus Brett. Brett's already wrestled one tough match. Yoko's wrestled a match. And so, this is it. This
straight
is Yoko
in,
versus
here we
Brett.
Go. We've made it. It's the main event of WrestleMania 2.
First time at WrestleMania. A main event has been. Wow, Matthew's forgotten how to speak English. They did this match last year at WrestleMania main event too. There we go, that was way easier. But this has got all the gimmicks of a James Bond car. Roddy Piper is the guest ref. We've had the previous matches earlier on. There's the Owen factor. Mr. Fuji's thinking about the dogs he's going to cook and eat, and allegedly. Change a big boss man there, 99. And, yeah, so it's a lot more interesting than last year's match. Plus it's in the match. I forget everything about this match apart from the finish, so let's find out.
Plus it's in the garden, which is a better building than some parking lot at Caesars.
Yoko.
Breaking news. Sal Vulcano from Impractical Joke has mentioned Botchamania and Ari Shafir's podcast. Pretty cool.
Oh, that's nice.
Very nice, man.
Thanks, man. I don't watch the show, but everyone else does, so good for you. Wow, what a dick I sounded there. I do.
I'm too good for this.
No, that's not.
I'm rolling from on high,
isn't it? Oh God, shut up, Matthew.
All you commenters out there can watch.
Yeah,
this
whatever.
Show, I'm too.
Dropkick to Yoko, who no sells it like this. No sold the biggest mention of my career.
Why Dolph Ziggler mentioned him? Okay, fair point. Ari Shafir's podcast would be.
I think I remember him. Who was Dolph Ziggler again, Tom?
Dolph Ziggler is. He used to be called Nick Nemeth. He used to carry golf clubs for Chavo Guerrero.
Oh, Chavo's great. Oh, yeah. That's nice. He's appearing at Jenna's Spring Break, isn't he? Is that giving?
Oh, I hope so, mate. I hope so.
Dink will throw him out. And is Roddy Piper as a guest ref in a Brett match? He does a good job of it. Unlike next year. Which we'll probably get to in a few months' time, thinking about it.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I gave him a big kiss.
We'll get to next year, right about this time next year.
Yeah, that's how it works. It's weekly. Right?
Yeah, WrestleMania this time. Yeah. WrestleMania 11 this time next year.
Well, so, it's not come quick enough. Drinking with anticipation.
I'll have been sacked by then, to be fair, mate.
You'll quit before that. WrestleMania 11 with my... Ah, you know what?
When that lucrative Wrestle Talk contract comes through, mate, I'm out the door.
Hello, Ollie Davis.
So I have to ask.
Hello, King Brian Zane.
Justin.
King of the Ring 94.
Oh no, that's coming up.
Are we gonna shut up for the entire commentary on that show, or we're gonna make jokes? Because I think we should.
I feel like we
commentary.
Still need to make jokes, but I think if we have the subtitles on, so we can watch it.
Well, they cut his mic anyway. Like, halfway through the show,
they
that's where you cut
eventually.
In. As soon as his last words, you join in and go, well, that was...
We need to make an agreement as well that when these pay-per-views start getting too long in the tooth, we need to drop to highlight versions. Because I genuinely, and I know it's on the horizon in about 30 years' time, but the thought of doing a commentary track for 7 hours of WrestleMania makes me feel a little bit sick.
We'll be dead by then, don't worry.
Do you reckon we'll be dead
yes.
by then?
I hope
yeah.
so.
Thank God.
I'm praying for that up.
I'd have finally had that heart attack. I've been due for about a year.
Come on, Bray. You can't headbutt a Japanese wrestler.
I hated the fact that they started the records. Well, Matt Stryker did it one time on commentary. Basically say, oh, you know, part of the Samoan family, Yokozuna. I'm like, how dare you? You can acknowledge the house show King of the Rings now, which is weird to me. But how dare you call Yokozuna Samoan after all these years? Look at that guy in the background. Is that the Samoan flag he's waving? No. did the Samoans bomb Pearl Harbor, which Mr. Fuji mentioned every single promo he did in the late 80s? No.
Forget it.
We'd all be speaking Samoan.
Mate, it's not a flag. Predators is in the back. It's not a flag. Predators just in the roof.
Oh!
Thank you very much. Thank you very
that
much.
That took a few seconds. Well done, Snake in the grass. But let's not ignore what Yokozuna ate backstage on the Bret Harvest.
Which was the 10-man tag.
I'm not trying to sound rude when I ask this, but did Yoko gain weight between matches?
I think he did.
It looks like,
well, they
it.
It's like a video game where you eat food to get your health back.
You got a power up for killing a mini boss.
Just eat like a full roast chicken.
And just like in Final Fight, you knocked over a trash can and just ate a perfectly cooked turkey someone threw away. Oh, only Cornette could take a punch.
I
from
love a
ref.
Cornette bump where he just looks like he's lost his rings in Sonic.
That's a thing for Photoshop, John, Tom.
John! Photoshop Jim Cornette like he's losing his rings in Sonic the Hedgehog.
And you can hear the noise in your head.
Yeah. Ding. Oh, Fuji no. Nick in his wallet.
No. My favourite Mr. Fuji promo of all time, because there's just loads of network you have to filter through, was the one where he said that he was there in Hawaii the day of Pearl Harbor laughing at corpses.
Oh my God!
I swear to
oh
God.
Oh my God!
Oh, I missed that. Yoko's headbutt to nothing.
What's wrong with wrestling people?
I think Yoko heard the line and was so flabbergasted that was said on TV by a human being. He just, what? He's bumped on his chest.
Yoko's frustrated this match because he's been told under no circumstances can you do the nerve grip again. Do something else, mate. He's like, oh, God, okay, a face grip.
Yeah. You ever see the
next vignette? Next looks like, you know, Billy Robinson by comparison. That was horrible. I couldn't think of any of them. I've already mentioned Billy Robinson. What were you saying, Justin?
I said, you ever see that vignette on that one Coliseum video where it's Mr. Fuji and Berserker giving party tips how to throw a party? It's so over-the-top stupid that Fuji's like...
Yeah, and it's like Berserker's like, you should bring lots of drinks so people are entertained. And then Mr. Fuji goes, get sarin gas. And the tape just ends. Oh, evil son of a bitch in wrestling history.
Jesus. Like, Fuji's just like... And I know how to describe it. It's like, it's like one take. He's just laughing at his own lines. And Berserker's eating like party favors. And he's using his sword to open a bag of bread.
Berserker's like, for an amusing prank, you can put amongst the toffee apples, perhaps a toffee onion. It cuts to Fuji's like, kill all your friends.
Pee in your hands.
No survivors. Dead men tell no tale. Hey, we're next. We're a match. Exclusive bounty match. Here at Coliseum Video.
Fuji, mate, stop being offensive.
Keep a flash of his kill friends, kill friend. No, Fuji, get away from the Chiron Maker.
Fill the squirt guns with Windex.
Burn house down, lock doors.
Yoko making his way very slowly. I think you're right, Justin, by the way, just to go back to it. I think... Oh, God. I've lost your bone. I've lost your bone.
Hey, what was that random... house on fire? Oh, it's just Fuji.
What was that random thing? I thought it was something. I don't know what it was, though.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Go on.
Wow, you see, Fuji killed two people the other day? He was tired that day.
Mr. Fuji in The Omen.
Mr. Fuji's house, like Kotal, California. Check in, never check out.
Catchy song.
Oh, God, I'm laughing like JD. Christ.
I'm hearing whale song over on my end here.
So you said whale, I look at Yoko and I'm like,
would like to add that Yoko did a face then, like a baby who just put his foot in a really cold bath.
Oh.
Oh, Brett rope! Brett on the Brett rope! Oh my God, it's over. Everyone's dead. Brett on the Brett rope.
See, Brett had the five moves of doom, but Fuji had 9,003.
It's like Johnstown the morning after.
For you, Jonestown Massacre, most important day of your life. But to Fuji, it was Tuesday.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, I'm killing the podcast quicker than... quicker than a slightly inconvenienced Fuji, the delivery driver. 10 minutes late, no pay. Bang. Wasn't even his house.
Oh God.
God.
I mean, it's like only the true hardcores have made it this far into the listen back.
Yeah, it's okay.
To watch along.
So this is where the good stuff's coming out now. Say what you like.
This is like the Easter. This is like the extended edition for most people.
Yes, now we're smoking the filter.
The lawyer's favorite. There we go. That's a Yoko we know.
Bailey to belly.
See, I'm a Yoko defender because people look at the Bruins here.
You don't want to fuck off Fuji.
Exactly. They said Mr. Fuji was dead, just to be sure.
His ghost is
more deadly than most wrestlers nowadays. Paul Robinson fears Mr. Fuji's ghost. And, oh, no, never mind. I'm not going to defend Fuji. I was going to defend Yokozuna. Right?
There we go.
One of the worst moments of his entire effing career.
Watch the great time when Brett uses to win this match.
Speaking of whale blubber in Iceland, here's the finish to
Nobody was. You were just reading my text messages.
One of the best. Oh, whoa. Falls for no reason. Was Brett supposed to hit his ankle, take him out? Was Fuji supposed to, I don't know, do something? Who knows? But that is how Brett won the title. That's one of the best WrestleManias ever ends. A lousy, crappy, stupid finish to a match that was at least still better than Luka versus Yoko.
But I think even Yoko knows that was a bum finish.
Mm. Keep in mind, 17 ended with Austin hitting a bunch of chair shots in the ribs and then just pinning Rock's dead body. Somebody fall over.
How dare you compare this match to that?
What is it? All we needed was JR go, as Yoko fell, JR going, "What does this mean? What does this mean?" And then Paul Heyman going, "It's a new champion!"
Yoko sort of shaking hands with the devil himself. No, just high-five Fuji. Well, actually, in that case.
But see, I think it's one of the problems of the Brett era is the fact that, Brett didn't definitively beat Yoko there. Hogan would have slammed Yoko, give him a leg drop. He would have given a pile driver to Fuji.
That's what you're saying.
Look at the speed on Yoko! Where's all that cardio come from?
The buns are ready. And,
so what you're saying is that Brett Dickerson had a ladder match.
Yoko beat Brett. Yoko beat Yoko. I think I said Yoko beat Brett instinctively because Brett screwed Brett. But Yoko beat Yoko there rather than Brett winning him definitively. So we had the fighting champion, but that was like, but they still, even with that, still a top-tier WrestleMania. Still one of the best because the good stuff in this pay-per-view was really effing good.
Yeah, when it was good, it was very, very good. But when it was bad, it was horrid.
And I hope you like this period because there's not much of it coming. You poor sods have to watch Raw every week now for a bit.
Do you know what?
Watch as feuds disappear in seconds. Watch.
I can't
you
wait.
Have the head shrinkers with the tag titles for no reason.
We are fast approaching the lean years.
Wave
of
goodbye
the WWF
to the Gebeckers and Steiners. Say hello to the fake Undertaker.
Yes. I'll watch over the weeks as Tom becomes like Edgar Allan Poe, where like his genius leads to madness.
What's Luger gonna do? What's Luger gonna do?
You
that's
won.
Exactly what the people want.
How'd
you stupid.
Pin him. How do you do that?
See, in theory, this should have led to...
So wait, where's Yoko at? If Piper made back to the ring, where's Yoko?
Here comes Razor having a good jog.
All the good guys are here.
We are
good
secret magic men. We stay up till 5 a.m. Hold on, man, my shame and law. What goes on till stays on till...
We're men in tights.
Yes!
Nice to take it there. Oh, it's a 10-man, right.
Thurman hey, plug.
Hey, Bob, nice to meet you, wrestle.
The Thurman plug. Sorry. Oh, are you ready for your CRT TV to explode? Because there's Bob Holly's grotesque outfit. Oh!
Big Ronda's back.
Big Ronda. Big jumbling. And here's the guy that probably should have had that.
Could you imagine if Savage had just decked him? Oh my god. What a way to end Mania. Savage just decking him.
WCW, here I come.
Oh my god, it's Denny Wahlberg!
Oh, we get to the ring and everyone's like, oh, fans just jumped the guardrail.
Wahlberg's got the briefcase!
Not like this.
It's Gorilla!
Oh, there's Gorilla.
Oh,
have Gorilla deck him.
What a beautiful miscarriage of justice that was. There, where's Triple H? Triple H? Thumbs up.
Oh god, yeah, what if Monsoon is a thumbs up? Thumbs down.
No, what should happen now, this is how you do it. The entire of Fuji and Cornette's army, including Tenryu and the Great Kabuki.
Oh my god, yeah.
Showing up for Rumble 94.
Red Wedding.
The Red
Vince is in there. Push him over, Vince. Push him over, Vince. Yeah. Brett, screw Brett.
That'd be my belt.
And then this is it. This is the important bit.
This is the bit, innit?
Savage, come on. Go on, congratulate your brother.
Let bygones be bygones.
No.
Celebration, it's not over. This means.
Oh, look at that. It's not over. God, look at his eyes.
Brett, me and you.
That should be me.
We're going to be feuding. We're going to have the lowest drawing feud up to that point in history on the WWF house show circuit.
Don't it suck? Because it was great.
Like on the Wrestling Observer newsletters on the blog of doom. Even record low attendance for Brett versus Owen because life is suffering.
In the Civil War, Tony Garea has just sided with Owen Hart.
And Owen Hart, like Jenny Garth, has no interest in getting in there. Boy, the song loops. The song loops forever. CFOs would be proud.
There's only one riff, in fairness, so you know. It's great for video games.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. You know what else goes on forever? The memory of Bret Hart being the best there was, the best there is, and the best there ever will be.
That is correct.
So that was WrestleMania 10, gentlemen.
WrestleMania X. WrestleMania. X stands for good. X.
Thoughts?
Loved it. It's still tremendous, even in hindsight. Two-match show, but what a two matches they were.
Really holds up well, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Really, really does. Matthew, thoughts on 10?
Sorry, getting an angry message from someone.
Oh, right, okay.
So I've been watching WrestleMania 10 rather than being a good person. yeah. I will probably defend this show even if given empirical evidence saying that it sucks because of the good... three of the best feuds, storylines they've ever done on a great show with some crap in between, but whatever. You could make a sandwich during a pay-per-view. Come on. Can't
yeah, you need something to sort of break water it.
And just there's a really good snapshot of how good this era could have been, but then it wasn't. So I think it's only appropriate to plug this bit, this show about being a great all-time classic that everyone needs to watch at least once, or at least the highlight version of the show is absolutely an all-timer, because it's going to decline in quality real quick and get real bad with executive producer Jerry Jarrett trying to catch things.
In a year, we go from Speed to Speed 2.
that is very true.
There you go.
That is very, very true. I thought it's great. It's so sad that Bret and Owen didn't do the numbers because this felt like such a wonderful direction to go in.
See, they should have gone with Bruce.
I know. Oh, yeah. If it had been Bruce, we would have been absolutely fine. But hey, look, we have gone on for about 3 hours, so we are going to thank you very much for listening all the way through the Cultaholic WrestleMania 10 watch along. We're having a little break next week because I'm away, and then we return next week and we continue our journey into the catacombs of WWF. So, from at Matthew Gregg, our special guest.
That's right, and Practical Jokers love me.
Practical Jokers love you. From at JRH Writing.
And the feeling's not mutual. Feeling ain't mutual, is it, Matthew?
I love Practical Jokers. What are you about? How dare you just, that's slander. All right, end it. I'll hear from my lawyers.
I am at
Geister and Shyster.
I am at Tom Campbell. I will speak to you soon. I love you. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.